You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John Aria.
And I'm Scott.
This is episode 130.
130, John. And we talked about this right before the show. We've been doing this for more than 3 years. We're in our fourth year, John.
Wow.
And we've built up at least 17 listeners, which is an accomplishment. Well, if you don't count...
Are you serious?
If you don't count, like, our friends...
We're up from 12.
Right.
That's great, man.
We got out of sight.
We got a really big shoe today.
Really big show, John.
Yeah.
You know, if we just podcasted and didn't stop until we were done, and time constraints weren't an issue,
yeah,
this would be like a four-hour...
Four?
Epic.
Hour.
John and Scott. Yeah. Don't talk nonsense.
No doubt.
But that's not the way it goes. Oh, a couple of things is you're going to be going to Arizona.
Yeah.
Then when you get back, I'm going to Vegas. So we're going to miss the next two podcasts. Yeah. I have to go to a conference in Vegas. Vegas, baby. I leave on Sunday. What?
Is this new? Did we discuss this?
I don't know if we discussed it on air. I certainly discussed it off air. And we talked about putting together some best ofs.
Right.
Which I don't even know if that's possible or not. But I have a themed one that I can put together. How do you want to do this? Do you want to, like you had, I thought you had a good idea where we would introduce the clips.
Yeah.
But that means we'd have to get together again sometime to do that.
Right.
Oh, that reminds me, I can do Thursday practice if it's 7 to 9. And if you guys want to reschedule,
Christ,
I can reschedule to any other
day. You are unbelievable.
The wife's out of town again. She got called out of town. What do you want me to do?
I can't do this. Why don't you just quit? This is how you do girlfriends.
Come on.
Man.
I can drive the kids and drop them off at the in-laws. But then I would have to pick them up at 9, so I can do like a 7 to 9 on Thursday. Or if you guys want to reschedule any other night... the wife gave me the okay. Any other night, we can do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, regular schedule, 7:30 to 10.
Right.
So I'll call Rick tomorrow, see what he wants to do.
Right. Right.
So you go to Arizona for vacation. I go to Vegas for work, and we're going to miss 2 weeks, so we have to put a best of together. Actually, two of them, where we're going to pull clips, because we have 3 years' worth of material, John.
Three years.
Which is a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah. It is, man. It is. It is. Did you pick up on my John Aria? I'm going to be John Aria from now on.
I did. John Aria.
John Aria. What are you going to be?
Scott. I'm going to be Scott.
Scott Free?
Scott Free. How about Great Scott? How about that?
Great Scott.
Yes.
I'm Great Scott. It's funny.
Or what the kids used to call me in second grade. Scott Tissue.
Oh, did you get all pissed off?
No.
Shut up! Quit calling me.
No.
Would you want to be called Kleenex?
I told them there was no God.
Oh, and then that's why they called you. Okay, whatever, Scott Tissue. Scott Tissue.
They said my balls, I must have been born with my balls on fire. I think that's pretty creative for a second grader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You must have been born with your balls on Quit telling me about your nuts.
Because in second grade, I thought we were hatched. I didn't even know we were born, you know.
Oh, my God.
Through the vag and all.
Are you for serious?
No, I don't know. Who knows? Second grade. I remember I didn't believe in God in second grade, and I played a lot of soccer. That's about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, second grade, really?
Yeah.
You worked that out in second grade.
Second grade. I remember one of the most vivid memories for me as a six-year-old. I think I've told this on the podcast before. My mother had a oil painting of a... I don't know why she had this oil painting. I don't know where she got it. I'll have to ask her.
Elvis?
Of a broken-down horse carriage in the Old West in flames. so it was obvious. It was like... something very tragic happened. And I kept looking at this. I remember 6 years old, and I keep looking at this, trying to get some meaning out of this oil painting that my mother has hanging in the living room. And the meaning I took from it, what dawned on me is that we're all going to die. Because I kept asking questions about to myself about, well, what happened to the passengers of that stagecoach?
They're dead.
Well, they're dead. And then I thought about old people and old people dying. And then it dawned on me that we all die. Maybe I was five. I can't remember. But
wow.
Yes, I openly wept. And my mother came to my aid.
I openly wept when Rudolph got his ass kicked by this abominable snowman.
Really?
Yeah.
Not me. The first time I saw that, I was looking at my uncle's Playboys that I found.
Nice.
The Christmas tree was a little lopsided, so he stuck some Playboys under one of the Christmas tree legs.
Yeah. The Christmas tree legs. Because Christmas trees have legs,
Christmas
you know.
Trees stand legs.
Oh.
So I was checking out a Playboy and watching Rudolph.
Nice.
So I really wasn't paying attention to Rudolph too much.
I started crying. And then the next year I saw it and I ran to my mom. Look, I didn't cry. I didn't even cry this time, man. Oh, man. Hey, by the way, we got a couple of calls.
Well, hold on. Before we get to that, how was your week, man?
Oh, yeah, my week. Whatever.
Shitty week?
Yeah.
Job related?
Yeah, it's a job's fucking foobar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might have to go to Germany.
Oh, I started running again. I start running every year around this time.
Yeah.
And so I'm on the treadmill. I go over to the health club and they have a little TV in front of the treadmill. So I plug my little headphones in. And I watch Law and Order.
Yeah.
And it keeps me on the treadmill for the entire hour because I get so into Law and Order.
Yeah.
So I'm running. And the hour is up. And like 40 minutes into it,
yeah,
I'm thinking, man, I got either horrendous swamp ass or either that or goat's ass. Something is going on back there.
Dude, man.
But I'm dedicated. I stuck with it.
Dedicated. You do whatever the pain, you're going to go through it.
No, it wasn't painful. It was just squishy and sloshy. And I'm like, geez, what is going on back there? I thought I wiped last time.
Well, what's wrong with squishy and sloshy? As long as it doesn't hurt.
Well, it didn't hurt, but it was noticeable. So I'm like,
okay. So it felt like some kind of lubricant.
It was so noticeable that I said, okay, right when I finish, there's a restroom on the second floor. I'm going right to the restroom, and I'm going to clean up whatever's going on back there because that's just not right. So I think it's maybe I didn't wipe the last load, you know?
Yeah.
So I go to the bathroom, and I get some toilet paper. I wipe, and I look at it.
Anus.
Yeah.
It's all bloody.
What?
Yeah. This usually happens every
year.
Dude,
you better go to the doctor, man.
No,
that ain't right.
What happens is my undies bunch up.
No.
And they crawl up my... And then the friction between my cheeks going back and forth creates little fissures.
No.
Yeah.
No, that ain't...
No, I've run since then, and I'm fine. It was an anomaly.
It's probably tetanus.
It was an anomaly.
Yeah, whatever.
That's all. I didn't get my lip or my tongue pierced. It couldn't be tetanus.
Tetanus?
Oh, dude. That's brutal.
And then I had a date night that I'll talk about a little bit later when we talk about movies, John.
Nice. I picked up a kegerator.
A kegerator?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's from practice. You had the kegerator out.
Yeah, you drank the whole fucking thing, man.
I didn't.
There was a brand new keg, and you polished that puppy off.
Oh, that's a bunch of crap. You're only saying that because I was the guy who had to fill up Rick's and mine.
No.
And sometimes yours. So it just looked like I was drinking the
most. No, man. You when you walked out of here, you were like... Bleh, 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 bleh.
Oh, that's a bunch of shit.
You can hardly walk.
Get out of here.
Rick and I are both, wow, this isn't even doing anything to me. And I'm like, that's because Fish Boy over there drank the whole thing.
That's not true.
We're drinking air.
So the kegerator, well, how many ounces are in these kegs?
It's a gallon.
It's a little keg. It's so cute, John.
It's 6 or 5 liter.
5 liter little teeny keg, and you put it in this refrigerated unit.
Yeah.
And you got to go through You got to go through some sort of thing where you tap it, right?
Well, you put in a little CO2 cartridge, and it's got a little gauge, and you put it at 0.5 bars.
And it's refrigerated and everything.
Yeah. It's kick ass, man.
It is kick ass.
It's got a new...
New
keg in there. Got the dab going.
I got so much ice in my Knob Creek, it's like a Slurpee.
So much knob in my ice.
Like a Slurpee.
Nice. A Knob Creek Slurpee.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, John. Yeah.
All right, easy on the new mic. Jesus.
Love my new B2 Pro, John.
That's great.
That is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt, Scott.
All right, man. Is that it for your week? Anything else happening? Oh, you know, I was in Boston Market.
Yeah.
The people at Boston Market are goddamn idiots. I'm trying to... is it just the people who go to Boston Market, or is it the entire population of the United States? You go to Boston Market and...
well, at least 51%.
We're waiting. So there's a line, right? A line. So they finally ask the guy in front of me what he wants. He doesn't know. He's been there 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And he doesn't know what he wants. It He's just going to start to figure it out now.
Oh, you know what?
And then he starts asking a bunch of goddamn questions. It's like, Jesus Christ, God. Man. Let me go first. I know what I want. And I got cash. So then we go to everybody gets served. And then one woman... 10 people in front of everybody else has a gift certificate, right?
Yeah.
And the cashier can't figure out how come he can't redeem this gift certificate. So the management is walking around holding their cock, and this one guy's struggling on the phone trying to get this woman to get her gift certificate redeemed. The food is just stacking up, You've never seen a bigger mound of food on a counter before. And the manager's like a dimwit. He doesn't open the other register.
No crisis management experience.
So my food was sitting there for 10 minutes before I was able to pay for it. I wanted to crumple up my 20 and throw it at him. And just take it and leave.
You're so upset.
But my daughter was with me. If my daughter wasn't with me, I think I would have been a little more belligerent. But, you know, I had to say, well, now they have an issue with their process.
So, my God. I would have just said,
you cocksucker motherfucker!
Give me my food!
That's what I was thinking. Jesus Christ!
And then as you left,
goodbye, motherfucker!
I don't even... you know, I love that chicken and the mashed potatoes, but I don't want to go there anymore.
I know. I know the feeling. I like the chicken and the those boiled or whatever those potatoes are. The little round ones.
Oh, the pink ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like pink nuts.
Yeah, I think they boil them in butter. That's why they're so good.
Boil them in butter. Yeah. That and the corn. It's so sweet.
Yes.
And I love checking out my stool after having some of that corn.
You really look forward to that,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It's out of sight.
It is out of sight.
Yeah, so and we finally had a practice this week.
Yeah, and we're going to miss the next two.
That's right. Thanks to you.
Maybe the next three.
Oh, no,
I'll be able to do Thursday 7 to 9.
Yeah.
7 to 9.
I'm flying out Friday.
Hey, you know what I thought? I just thought.
What?
If the fans have a favorite TTN moment, please email us and let us know.
Yeah.
And we can...
we'll compile them.
By request. So when we are gone for 2 weeks, we'll have some shit to download if you want it.
Well, I got a couple of calls here, and one of them... plays right up that alley.
Right up the alley, yeah. John. Right up that alley.
Yeah, we got one from Andrew where he goes off about the...
is this Andrew UK?
Yeah.
I've never heard Andrew UK before.
He goes off half-cocked about the...
I love cock.
Was that him?
No, he goes off about the show we did where you're talking about that festival, the biggest festival with Jay-Z or whatever.
Oh, right. The Glastonbury.
Yeah.
Is that it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Anyway, here's Andrew talking.
Oh, wait a minute. So last week you had a story and Jay-Z is going to be the headliner.
Right.
And I was saying, why would Jay-Z headline anything as far as a music festival? That's what I was saying.
But you were reading off of something where...
well, I agreed with them.
Yeah.
Yes.
The guy who was slamming them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here's Andrew.
Hello, John and Scott. It's Andrew from London speaking. In episode 128, you asked for UK listeners to comment on Glastonbury. First of all, some facts. If you believe Wikipedia, Glastonbury Festival is the largest greenfield music and performing arts festival in the world. Last year, over 700 acts played on over 80 stages to 177,000 people. More importantly, you recited Noel Gallagher's branding of Jay-Z and rap as wrong for Glastonbury 2008. Noel is just sore because no one likes his Beatles rip-off music anymore. You really can't listen to anything that that conceited, jumped-up, goat's-ass-wipe, talentless git says. He is Britain's answer to the question, who is the biggest fuckhead on earth? As for rap music in Glastonbury, fashions change and old people like me often condemn modern music. So I say, let the rap lead the way at Glastonbury, and evolution will select its survival. Finally, I had to mention that when God interrupted your show, I couldn't help noticing when he gets bored hearing Beelzebub's voice and wants to move on, he says, all right then. This is clear evidence to me that A, God exists, and B, Scott is the son of God, having genetically inherited this trait directly from him. Love the show, and a big, dirty Sanchez kiss to Scott. Bye.
A dirty Sanchez.
What is that, dirty Sanchez? I know what a rusty Sanchez is. What's a dirty Sanchez?
Probably the same.
Same thing?
I thought of, oh no, what's that, I'm thinking of a tie. What's that one, the Colombian tie or whatever? Where they cut your throat and pull your tongue out through
your...
Yeah,
that's what OJ did to his wife, Nicole.
Gave her a Colombian
so
tie.
So he could blame it on the Colombians.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus. Those are excellent observations by Andrew. Of course, I am. I didn't want to say this before, but I am the son of God. Aren't we all, John? We're all sons of God.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Sons of man.
Noel Gallagher, I didn't think he was the biggest asshole. I thought his brother was the biggest asshole.
Said fuckhead, I think.
Oh, fuckhead. What's his brother's name? Liam?
I don't know.
I thought his brother was the bigger asshole.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't care for their music either.
What is he from? Oasis?
But, like, if you ask me to name an Oasis. Well, they're brothers. They're in the same band.
Oasis, right?
Yeah, and they fight.
Yeah. Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, no, I like this song better than you.
Well, one guy is the singer, and the other guy is the guitar player. So I give the guitar player more credit because he can actually play a goddamn instrument. But the singer acts like he's the one who started the band. I really don't care. If you asked me to name an Oasis song, I couldn't.
Me either. Me neither,
how
Scott.
How about Wonderland? Is that Oasis?
I don't know.
Who knows? If you asked me to name a Jay-Z song... Forget about it.
We should play an Oasis song.
We should. Oh, you mean the band?
Yeah.
Oh, no. We shouldn't.
No?
I'd rather play a Jay-Z song than an Oasis song. And I don't even know Jay-Z songs.
Well, most of them sound like this.
You cocksucker motherfucker!
But to a beat.
But here's the deal. I know one Vanilla Ice song, right? So yeah. Why don't they have Vanilla Ice head up the festival? Because I at least know one Vanilla Ice song.
Ice, baby.
And he had a movie, too.
Yeah.
Did Jay-Z have a movie?
He ain't got no movie.
Not yet.
Plus, he married Beyonce.
Oh, yeah. He's got a nice ass.
Well, thanks for the call, Andrew.
The next one is, thanks, Andrew. The next one's from Uno Chato.
Uno Chato.
Uno Chato.
You know, Uno Chato gets around.
Does he?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, I just heard him on the Mediocre Show.
What?
I think he called in live, I believe. Wow. I heard him. Yes. And I know that he participates in Spike and Rachel. Of course, they haven't had a show in 4 months.
Yeah. Did you ever send our pictures to Mediocre?
Our pictures.
Pictures.
Oh, the ones in our hoodies?
Yeah.
No, I thought you were going to do that.
Oh.
I got to do that?
I'll do it. I don't care.
Come on,
I just asked you if you did. I sent them to you, you douchebag.
Speaking of the Mediocre show, Eric Tomorrow, with the Great Mediocre Show, has acquired a screen press for T-shirts.
Yeah.
And they printed some T-shirts. You can get those at Mediocre Show. But we got to contact him about doing a bulk run for us. You know what I'm saying, John?
Right.
Get some pricing.
Right.
From an Eric Tomorrow. They got to be the heavy cotton T-shirts, though, not that flimsy shit.
Yeah,
you know, we'll
right.
pay the extra dollar for that. Right. You know what I'm saying, John?
So yeah, I know,
what I'm
saying.
So we got to figure out like what we want
to. Like you'll fucking open your wallet with a crowbar.
Hey, get this, man. My wife's. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say.
Oh boy. Bonk.
Can we take it out in post? I'll tell you, and then we can take it out
later.
All right, I'll tell you later.
Kabonk. Kabonk. Anyway, Uno Shadow.
What did he have to say?
Two phone calls.
Two of them?
Yeah.
Total Talk Nonsense, John, Scott, this is Uno Shutdown, and I'm sorry, on the episode 128 call, I thought I said that it was Uno Shutdown, but I guess I didn't, and I do apologize. But, yeah, I was the one that asked you if Ben Stein had the downs. And I still contend that the man, you know, does in fact have a few missing chromosomes in his genetic makeup. And I do mean genetic makeup because it certainly wasn't put there by God. No, I think that you know, his whole argument stems from the fact that science can't explain everything, and, oh, you know, it doesn't cover everything, and it's not encompassing all the things, and how complicated a cell is, and all this bullshit. And it's like, I don't recall there ever being a passage in the Bible and dealing with gravity, or, you know, the planetary rotation of the sun, or the lunar orbits, you know, creating the tides and all stuff. I don't recall that from the Bible, and I love how, you know, all that's magic, and Jesus has magic, he has a special magic, and that just explains it all. But yet, you know, these guys, the scientists, are actually trying, at least, to come up with a theory and a hypothesis and you know, make a valid argument about a possibility of how something could have been, you know, could have been done or could have happened. And this dude's just like, nope, that's magic. Yay, Jesus magic. Yay, I'm a fucking retard. Fuck Ben Stein. Fuck him in the ass with a Mack truck-sized dildo. Love the show, guys. Keep going.
You cocksucker motherfucker!
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more with that phone call. Ben Stein is a total cock.
The size of a man.
And here's what makes him an even bigger cock than you would think he is.
Then, like, say,
not
a
only
car.
Not only does Uno Shadow hit it right on the head about everything, but Ben Stein goes the extra mile and says Darwin's the reason for Hitler and the Holocaust.
Yeah.
That's so despicable and repulsive to me.
And it cracks me up, too, because you talk to people and they believe it. I mean, they're so... Dude, Hitler was... I was talking to somebody at work again. Oh, Hitler had to be an atheist, man. You got to be an atheist to do that kind of stuff to people. A chick was saying that to me. I said, what? Do you know what atheism means? Well, yeah. Yeah, you don't believe, if you don't believe in God, of course it makes it easier for you to do those horrible things to people.
Did you follow that question up with, well, why is that?
No, I punched her right in the face.
Well, she would say, because we all live in fear. Of course. I mean, I want to do those things, but I'm fearful that I'll spend my life in eternity in hell.
Oh, so your only motivation to do good is punishment.
See, that's why you got to follow it up with the Socratic method there, and they'll see their breakdown.
I just started slamming her, and then I said, by the way, why don't you read Mein Kampf? You can find out that he was he was born Catholic, he was a practicing Catholic, as a matter of fact, I was watching a show, I think after our last show, I stayed up a little later and watched some TV, and there was a documentary about Hitler and the occult. and the fact that... Now, this guy was a motivated dude, by the way.
Who, Hitler?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got, like, an STD from a Jewish whore.
Yeah, but he also fought in World War One. He was jailed for... Right after World War One, when they declared...
Politically.
Okay, yeah, we lost, you know, sorry, we surrender. And Germany had to pay all their debts off. They just started printing money. Sounds kind of familiar. Started printing money like crazy. And to buy a loaf of bread, you actually had to wheelbarrow a bunch of Deutschmarks up to buy a loaf of bread. And he started getting involved in some labor party or something. And like 2,000 of them walked up to the city hall, whatever it was called back then, and tried to overthrow the government, and they got arrested, and he was jailed. But then they eventually did it again, and again, finally, it worked out in his favor. And through that whole time, he was into this occult. He was into the Zodiac and astrology and all
this
shit.
Hold on, wait a minute. You just said he was Catholic?
Yeah.
Now he's into the occult?
He was into that stuff, too. Well, like the Catholic Church isn't some sort of occult? Isn't it?
It's not the occult.
What is the occult? Occult.
I don't know. It's like Aleister Crowley and the shit that Jimmy Page gets into. Hey, don't click around on the web. Talk to me.
You mean Satan?
Yeah, Satan.
No, not necessarily. It could be any kind of black magic or magic per se. It doesn't have to be. I don't think it has to be satanic. Because
well, we
it's
also
a
know
cult.
That Hitler spent a lot of money trying to acquire the Noah's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant. And if it weren't for Indiana Jones, this would have been.
We wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, this would have been a much different world. We'd be speaking German now, John.
German. So you're welcome.
And getting back to Ben Stein in this movie, Expelled, it's a propaganda piece. Yeah. Everybody knows that. And we've talked about it on the show. If you're a new listener to TTN, download the old shows.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you know Roper, Richard Roper?
Yeah. Well, I got another call from Uno Chateau.
Is it about Ben Stein?
No.
All right. Let me get this in. We'll get to the other call.
All right.
At the Movies with Ebert and Roper, co-host Richard Roper wrote that he has been accused of liberal bias for not reviewing the intelligent design documentary. What did I say? Documentary. Expelled, no intelligence allowed on the TV show. In his column in the Chicago Sun-Times, Roper insists that no liberal conspiracy was involved in the omission. Expelled wasn't screened for us, he wrote, but given the attention the film has received, he finally managed to see it. Wow. He concluded,
wow.
What a piece of garbage. As a documentary, Expelled as a joke, as a piece of propaganda, well done.
As a documentary.
It's a joke, John.
Nice.
As propaganda, it's well done.
So
from Richard Roper.
So anyway, you were talking earlier. Because I'm fucking sick of hearing about Ben Stein.
Ben Stein.
What a loser. You were talking earlier about the listeners giving us suggestions for like a best of.
Right.
And Uno Chateau had something to say about one of our, I think it was 128, the end, we played a clip. And this is what he had to say about it.
John Scott. This is Uno Chateau again down here in this fucking festering pile of shit we call Dallas. I just wanted to say that I got to the end of 128 there, and I heard the Stoner Clip number 2. That's right, Stoner Clip number 2, John. And I got to say that, and I have always acknowledged, and I think it's universally acknowledged that John and the Scott on the Total Talk Nonsense have a great production value in that your bits and your sound effects and production quality is always top-notch, John, top-notch. But this particular clip, Stoner Clip number 2, is probably one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my goddamn life, and I I have to tell you, almost pissed my pants. I had to clutch and run. I said clutch and run to the can to relieve myself. I was laughing so hard that might have been the funniest bit ever, sir. Possibly. Funniest bit ever. John and Scott.
Well, that's wow. All the credits due to Scott, because Scott is the one that put that together.
Funniest bit ever. I'm going to have to put that in a promo somewhere. That brings a tear to my eye. Makes me clutch and run, too.
Clutch and run.
I want to clutch and run right
clutch
now.
Clutch and run and go jerk one off.
Right on, John. So he's from Dallas. Ugh.
Yeah.
Can't you offer him a job? I mean, you got a pole over there where you work.
Pole? I got pole.
Get him out of
P-O-L-E.
Dallas. Too bad we still didn't have the studio. We could have rented it out to him.
Yeah. He's keeping it real down in Dallas.
Keeping it real. Keeping it real.
Real stupid.
Yeah, can you imagine in Dallas all the numbskulls? I mean, we got numbskulls up here, but to the power of 10.
I told you the story, man, when Dallas. I was down there.
Yeah.
My buddy waved at a chick and she rear-ended some guy. Then he took off running. I'm like, where are you going? It's like, man, they'll somehow get me involved in it and I'll have to pay. Because back then, when the W was governor, the single mom, the pregnancy rate was like way up. Teen pregnancy and
that's because they were pushing abstinence, right?
Yeah, pushing abstinence and illiteracy was it was all fucked up. And my friend Scott almost got, not you Scott, but a different Scott, almost got shot while he was down there.
I almost got shot here.
Did you? Right at my house?
It was on Margaret.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's about 20 years ago.
Nice.
Yeah. Almost got shot.
The Stever?
No.
Mr. Schmuel?
No, I was throwing rocks at this girl's window.
Oh, good, good. That's
and
good.
So I'm running back
hey,
and forth.
Young man.
And the guy next door pulled a gun on me. And I kept telling him to point the gun away. Could you please point the gun away while we have this conversation? And I tell you that I'm so innocent.
Oh, man.
He wouldn't do that. He said that he knew how to operate a firearm because he was a retired sheriff or some shit like that.
Oh, man.
I said, that's fine, but you don't have to point that fucking thing while we're having a conversation.
Wow. That's fucked up.
Right on Margaret. One block north of here.
Wow.
20 years ago.
Yeah, why don't you just tell everybody so they can fucking triangulate their way to my house. Why don't you just give out my address and phone number, social security number.
Should we bonk Margaret?
Jesus.
Bonk.
Just keep saying it. Why don't you?
All right, I
just
got
keep saying it. Hey, you know what the fuck?
I'm sorry. What am I saying, Margaret?
I don't know. Yeah, not that.
It wasn't Margaret.
It was literally 5 feet from your driveway.
It was Willow. What am I thinking?
Willow, yeah.
Willow, yeah. Fuck. All right, man, we got some emails.
Nice.
Email. You got any email?
Emails?
Emails. I got some email, John.
Wow.
We got one from Frank. Frank says, Frank. Hi there, fucktards.
Nice.
Frank from Cape Town, South Africa. Just a mail to let you fucking assholes know. I am still one of the 12 religious listeners you have, and keep up the good work, man. So when he says 12 religious listeners, does that mean he's religious to TTN? Or that
yeah,
he's...
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he means.
12, he's a religious person who
12,
listens.
Yeah.
I fucking love the show! Guys, I would like to ask if there is a possibility that you could send me a complete copy of all the podcasts you made from episode 1 to 100.
Whoa.
I know. Just fucking hear me out, okay? I had all the MP3 podcasts on TTN on my laptop, and like a fucking asshole, I did a cleanup and by accident deleted all up to 100. I wanted to burn it on disc, and now it's all lost. Jesus Christ! Guys, please help! A tet salute, your loyal ass Frank.
Loyal ass Frank.
All right, so can you do that for him, John?
What?
I don't have a CD burner. Do you have one? Wait a minute.
Why can't you?
Would all our shit fit on a CD?
No, I don't think so.
It would take two CDs, wouldn't it?
More than that.
More than that?
More than that.
It's 74 meg on a CD, right?
Yeah.
What are our shows?
Well,
that would only take one show, right?
Lately, they've been like...
All right, so we'd have to do DVDs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, you need to send me an email, Frank, and see if you can handle a DVD of MP3s.
Yeah. For that many.
For that many. And what's in it for us is what I want to know.
What? Let's see. If it's 100 shows.
100.
Let's say they're 30. No. Well, they're about 70.
60. Let's
they're
say 60.
60 each.
60 meg each.
So 18 gig.
18 gig. That would be how many DVDs?
Oh,
Jesus Christ. Aren't they all available?
I don't know.
I'm going to send him a link. He can re-download the shit.
There you go.
All right, got this email from Peter.
Yeah.
Dear John and Scott, just a quick email to say how much I enjoy your podcast. Gay lyrics, viola, time travel, your general commentaries on the sad state of the union and the world in general, combined with your personal anecdotes, make for a very good listening. So thank you. As an expatriate, how do you pronounce that, John?
Expatriate.
Expatriate. Brit. Expatriate Brit. It is really refreshing to hear Americans in America with your take on this, that, and the other. In my experience, there seems to be such a fundamental difference between Americans living in the U.S. and Americans living outside, and it really does give the rest of us hope.
Nice.
That there are people like you on the inside.
We're all pink on the inside, Scott.
Long may TTN continue. All the best, Peter. That's all right, John, we do a lot of corrections. We have a lot of corrections on the show. I'm going to anoint this the greatest correction we've ever received in 130 episodes.
Really?
The greatest correction ever. Because most of the corrections are shit we already know. Like, for example, last podcast, I said that Miley Cyrus was in Vogue magazine. Turns out it's Vanity Fair.
Vanity Fair, right.
But I knew that. But I said, I misspoke.
Yeah.
But, you know, 12 of our 17 listeners
just took you out, took you to task.
Feel obligated to tell me what a dope I am for saying the wrong magazine.
Right.
But I already knew it. But here is a correction where I actually learned something, John. I learned something from this correction.
All right, spit it out.
This is, says, Scott, how's life? Well, life is good. Just listening to TTN 129 and noticed your mispronunciation of the word row during the story about James Caan and director Russell. And we played a clip from Russell.
Yeah.
For your information, this word should this word should be pronounced like the first syllable of flower or bow, as in the front part of a ship. Row.
Row.
Okay? It's a British English thing meaning an argument, verbal or other. It's in the dictionary. Row.
Next he's going to be telling us that we say aluminum wrong.
Quarrel.
It's aluminium.
Squabble or brawl. Out of curiosity, was the source from the UK... story from a UK source. I have no idea. Great show otherwise. Okay, so
other
except
than the
for
row.
That, other than that, it was a great show. Later, you know who that's from, John?
No.
Who corrected me?
No.
The great Phil, the bass player.
Really?
Corrected me on row.
Nice.
It's not row. It's row.
Row.
So I said that James Caan and director Russell were in a row. But it's not a row, it's a row.
I thought that's what you meant. They were in a row, like they're standing in a row. In an aisle.
And they were arguing with each other in a row.
You were in a row.
I think that's what I did mean, but I thought it was just a great email, so I had to read it.
Yeah, I get corrected all the time. I work with two Brits. Now it's, you know, it's not aluminum. It's aluminium.
Aluminium.
You don't say, what are some of the other eums?
It's not masturbation. It's masturbation.
Masturbate. It's it's not helium. It's helium.
It's not cork. It's cock.
I love cock. I might be one of the biggest cocks on the planet. Please sort out a photograph of me sucking a cock.
Yeah.
And there you have it.
It's a row.
All right, John, let's turn to movies. This is a big movie week for both of
you. No,
wait,
I want to tell you something.
Tell me, talk to me.
We both joined Facebook.
That's right, we did. We joined Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get a message here and there from somebody on Facebook.
Facebook.
And a couple days back, I get a message, and it says, everybody needs something. I've got a lot of good things in my life, but TTN is absolutely the highlight of my week. Rock on, sir. You know who that was from?
I have no idea.
The art director and editor of DC Comics.
You are shitting me.
I wouldn't shit you. You're much too large. It would hurt my ass.
What's his name? Can you give us his first name?
Mark Chiarello. Unless it's Chiarello. I don't know. he just came out with a book called Heroes of the Negro Leagues, where he does the...
He's an author, too?
Yeah. And he's also an artist. He's a painter. Does some really nice watercolors.
Well, he's the director and editor.
Yeah.
Of Marvel.
No. DC, you dummy.
You just said Marvel.
I did not. I said DC Comics.
Oh, we're going to have to roll back tape because you said Marvel.
I did not say Marvel.
You did.
I did not. Oh, my God. You're an idiot, man. I said his name was Mark Chiarello. I didn't say Marvel. Oh, my God. How dare you?
How dare you?
I didn't,
sir.
You'll see, man.
Oh, I'll see.
Yeah.
We're going to pull this for 131, and I'm going to pull some other things,
too. Yeah, you're
going
to be pulling it right out of your ass.
I love you.
Oh, my God.
You're naughty.
Unbelievable. What is wrong with you, man? Marvel!
Marvel. I got excited Marvel. When you said Marvel, because I thought he could get us in the next Iron Man movie. His stand-ins.
I'd rather be in the Batman movie.
All right. Well, it's very dark, Batman. Yeah. Very dark.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right, anyways. You were
well, that's hot, man.
Yeah.
I got to check that out. I got to check that guy out.
Yeah.
He's your friend in Facebook?
Yeah. Ha ha.
Ain't that something?
Yeah.
All right, are we ready to turn to movies there, Jim?
Yeah.
Movies. You think he'd Skype in for an interview?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him. I'll probably see him at the Comic-Con.
There's Can I go?
WizardCon in Chicago on June...
Send me the date.
26th or something.
So I can pencil it in, put it on my calendar. My family calendar.
Speaking of calendars, 261 days left, Scott.
At a W.
Yeah.
How much more can he fuck this country up in 261 days, John?
He's working.
That's what I want to know. I still say he's not leaving. He's going to attack Iran and stay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
This is what he said on September 3rd, 2001, Scott. He said, "But if you've been laid off work, you're 100% unemployed, and I worry about it." It's genius.
That is genius. You're not 99% unemployed.
99 cent. You ain't 99 cent. You 100 cent.
You 100 cent unemployed. All right, John, speaking of family, every Friday I have family night.
Right.
And one of the things we do with family night is we watch a movie, and it's difficult to get movies for the kids and something that the wife and I would enjoy as well. So I'm at Target, I believe. And I don't know if you know this, if you've been at Target in a while, but they are starting to package, well, maybe not Target, but whoever is starting to package 2-for-1 in movies.
Right.
So I go, there's like 2-for-1 romantic comedies, 2-for-1 horror, 2-for-1.
Whore.
Oh. Whore?
So.
You mean horror?
For $5.50, I see Teen Wolf with Michael J. Fox and Teen Wolf 2.
Oh, my
2,
God.
Right?
I can't.
Did you ever see Teen Wolf?
Dude, I watched it just like last weekend.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. I watched it. The end of my son walks in at the end of it. And he's like, "What the fuck?"
On DVD?
It was on cable. He was playing. It was like one of the scenes where he's playing basketball,
right?
And Nathan's walking past the TV, and he stops. He sees this big hairy beast shooting hoops
and slam dunking.
Yeah.
So I
Teen Wolf. Sit down.
I remember in 85, I went and saw Back to the Future at the theater, and that's one of my favorite movies ever.
Keg of beer.
So then Michael J. Fox is in Teen Wolf, so I go back to the theater to see Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
And I really can't remember anything about this movie, but I see it at Target, and I say, that might be good for the kids.
It's a coming-of-age film, Scott.
Right. So I pick it up, and I take it home. And I watch it, and the kids went to bed early or something. Yeah. And my wife and I are watching it, and she's like, "What is this?" I'm like, "I don't know. I saw this in high school or right after high school. I thought it was okay. I have a good memory of this movie, and it is fucking almost, John, unwatchable.
No, it's great.
Are you
man.
Kidding me?
I love that movie.
Oh. You know, the
Scott, and the guy's name is Scott. Teen Wolf, his name is Scott.
Well, Michael J. Fox does a great job in this role.
What about
Styles?
Styles.
Yeah. I thought Styles did a great job, man. I loved his t-shirts, too.
I wish they would have slammed on the brakes when he was standing on top of the van, though.
Yeah, there were two scenes of that. I thought that was... didn't a bunch of kids jump up on cars and get killed after that movie?
Probably. Surf's up, man!
Styles. So Teen Wolf, it's about a Michael J. Fox who's unpopular. And he's hot for the hottest chick in school.
Yeah.
And... the one thing I did like about the movie is when he finally did get to nail her after he turns into this teen wolf and he becomes a superstar basketball player. She's like, I mean, she's a total whore. He walks her home. Hey, so, you're going to go to this dance with me. Well, no. Nick's my boyfriend.
Yeah, I just want to do
it. Yeah, I just want to bang you, you stupid. I thought that was cool.
It's a great movie.
The other scene I liked was when he's in the bathroom and he first turns into the werewolf.
Yeah.
And his dad's outside knocking on the door. He's
Scott?
Scott, you can talk to me about it.
No,
talk to me about anything.
Because he thought he was in there, you know. That's what he thought his dad thought he was doing.
Wanking.
When
his
dad knew all along.
Are you going to do that to your son when you know he's in there wanking? Are you going to knock on the door?
Dude, I already do it. What are you doing in there? Hey, what are you doing?
The problem is when Nathan knocks on the door when you're in there, right?
Just a minute. Hold on a second. I'll be right there.
Yeah, the thing that ruined it for me was the basketball scenes at the end when he comes back. They're in the state championship, and he's not going to be Teen Wolf. He's going to be his normal.
And they're standing around while he does layups.
Completely lame self. Well, and then the very last, so the guy fouls him with no time on the clock, and they're down by one.
Yeah.
He's going to shoot free throws, and they let the guy stand right under the basket
right.
and stare at him.
Nick. I don't like you. Why don't you turn into the wolf right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a great movie, though.
Oh, I think it was really bad.
And you bought it.
Well, I kept comparing it to Back to the Future, which he did in the same year. And I'd really like to talk to him and find out, did he know the quality of what he was doing?
Okay, here's the pitch.
The other thing that I think the content of the movie is fine, but the subpar filming, editing, yeah. The soundtrack was fucking
terrible.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It was the worst soundtrack I've ever heard.
I thought it was funny though when they get to the party and they're trying to get this keg of beer and they get there and they're like, "Well, just throw it over there." And there's like 50 other kegs stacked up.
Right.
Like what party? How come we never went to one of those parties?
Yeah.
Although Garcia had one once where we went through 10 kegs.
A guy in the swim team used to have parties like that at his house with his parents' home.
Oh, Jesus.
They were
can't
pretty
do
cool.
that now.
And then I went to one of the best parties I went to was up in, I think it was Lake Geneva.
Ah.
It was somebody on the cross country team who had a sibling on the swim team. So it was the cross country team and the swim team.
Yeah.
Went up and there was no parental supervision whatsoever at this place in Lake Geneva, like this summer home in Lake Geneva. And it was. It was like Orgy City.
Nice.
It's unbelievable. I don't remember any drugs. There was alcohol, though.
No drugs.
No drugs, you know, because we were all athletes, John.
Oh, man. The athletes got the best drugs. What are you talking about, man?
Not the swimmers, man.
No, not the swimmers. They gave good blowjobs. Queers.
Speaking from experience, John?
Yeah.
Really? Who was it, Tom Bishop?
Oh, I did a glory hole, and I came around the corner, and there's fucking one of you clowns standing there. It looked like he ate a glazed donut. I was like, what the fuck?
That's not funny. That's not funny.
I'm sorry. That's right. A low blow.
All right, John, you see any movies?
Yeah.
What'd you see, man?
I saw Iron Man.
I saw that too, man.
And Golden Compass.
I saw that too.
And I watched Cloverfield again.
Cloverfield.
With my son.
Which we talked about, I don't know how many. We saw that when it came out, right?
Yeah.
But you saw it with your son.
Yeah, we watched it. Special Ed called during it. He's like, yeah, man, you're watching that? Great soundtrack, isn't it?
Yeah, we originally saw it with Special Ed. That dope. And the first thing he wanted to do was go buy the CD of the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Well, we left the theater. We had to inform him that there wasn't any music.
Yeah, there was. Well, there was, technically.
Well, at the party.
The party.
What, two songs?
At the end, during the end credits.
Well, my wife and I, Saturday, had a babysitter come over, and we went and saw the 1:45 showing at the Movie Co. at the Premier Theater.
Really?
Iron Man. Yeah, she wasn't interested. She didn't want to go, but I was so excited about
you
it.
Didn't
she
take
said, okay.
The kids?
I'll go. No, we didn't take the kids.
Oh, I took the kids.
No, I didn't take the kids.
They loved it.
We were on a date night. Well,
sorry,
date day.
God.
Date day. Here's the thing. After the movie, we go to, we ran some errands, and then we said, well, let's grab a bite to eat before we go home. So we go to Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Cheeseburger in Paradise. Yeah.
So we walk in right behind a table of two adults and 10 kids.
Oh.
Right? So I said, hey, let's go to the bar. They don't,
yeah,
they don't have
smoke.
Kids in the bar.
There's no smoking.
So we go to the bar. We sit down. There's four fucking kids climbing all over the bar.
Oh.
Yelling, screaming, and the parents are oblivious. I wanted to go over and tell this guy.
This is what I don't understand.
You are such a fucking asshole. I wanted to go tell him, hey, next time you go out, I'll pay for the babysitter, okay? To keep these obnoxious fucking pricks at home. Because they ruin my evening. I'm trying to get some mini burgers and some onion rings and have a nice 22-ounce draft. And I got these fucking little cocks running around screaming. The bartender had to come over at least 10 times. Please, can you not stand on the chair? I don't want you to get hurt, okay? And I'm thinking,
why didn't she walk up to the parents?
Why doesn't the manager come out and say, hey, kids aren't allowed in the bar. Get the fuck out of the bar.
And get your kids off of the fucking furniture before I get sued.
I'm with my wife.
And if you don't like it, get out.
I'm with my wife, so I don't want to, you know, cause a scene or anything. But I remembered what this motherfucker looks like. And it's in our hometown. So if I see this fucking prick again, this dad, outside, like if he shows up at a gig or if we're out some night and we see this guy, I'm going to fucking lay into this cocksucker. I was so goddamn upset. Letting his kids act like a bunch of stooges.
You okay, man?
Yeah, I'm all right. So anyway, get back to the movie. Now, we go to the premiere theater. I ordered tickets online. Did you ever do that for the premiere?
No.
Oh, it's nice. You just give them your credit card when you roll up.
Yeah.
And they give you your tickets. And you can reserve your seats online and everything.
Nice.
So we get in there, we sit down, and... I thought it was fucking great, man.
Yeah. The movie?
I really liked the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Man. I thought Robert Downey Jr. did a great job.
And what a great role for him. He's an alcoholic in the movie. In real life.
Well, the one thing that...
substance abuser.
Yeah, the one thing... like, so the first half of the movie, he's a billionaire weapons developer. He went to MIT. Child genius. What do they call those, John?
Prodigies.
Takes over his dad's weapons company. He's banging everything.
Yeah.
He's smart. He's funny. I like the guy better in the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Of the movie.
And then he got all
right.
Fucking
then he,
ethical.
Yeah. Then he has this experience in Afghanistan. And he becomes, we can't make weapons anymore. And then he ends up making a weapon.
I thought in the beginning he was just like in the beginning of Less Than Zero.
Oh, I disagree. I totally disagree. I think because, and here's the reason. In this movie, he's a self-made man. I mean, his father had the company and he took over the company. But he went to MIT. He graduated MIT at 16 or whatever the hell he did.
Yeah.
So he, in my opinion, earned the ability to be a total ass. In Less Than Zero, his parents earned all the money. And he just went around being a total fucking cock.
Oh.
It was annoying. And he should have been in Cloverfield to get killed, is
right.
What I thought. I hated that movie, Less Than Zero.
Movie was great, man. What are you saying?
It wasn't great.
It wasn't great.
So what do you got to say about Iron Man there, Johnny?
Oh, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Jeff Bridges playing the bad guy.
Hey, man, you're giving away spoilers.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's all right. We always give away spoilers.
Yeah.
I really didn't like Gwyneth Paltrow. What is it with... you know, I saw Spider-Man today, a little bit of Spider-Man with Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
Couldn't they cast somebody else besides Kirsten Dunst? I just don't like Kirsten Dunst. And then Gwyneth Paltrow is Pepper Potts. You know who they should have cast in that role, John? Would have made the movie 10 times better.
Who?
Jenny McCarthy.
Really?
Right on.
No, I don't like her nose. She got a weird nose.
It doesn't matter.
I thought Gwyneth did a great Pepper Potts. Virginia Pepper Potts.
Yeah.
Virginia.
I just don't like her.
Okay, sorry, man. You don't like her freckles?
So when she came on, I wasn't thinking Pepper Potts. I was thinking Jennifer McCarthy. I'm sorry. I was thinking Gwyneth Paltrow. I'd rather been thinking Jennifer McCarthy. That's what I'd rather be thinking. And I think Jennifer McCarthy would have filled out that dress a little nicer, more nicely than a Gwyneth Paltrow.
I hear you, man.
Right, but she's too busy running around talking about vaccines and autism. Jennifer McCarthy, she's off the deep end.
Was Jack Black in it?
In what? Iron Man?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'm looking at the IMDb.
Was he one of the voices?
I don't know. They
like the voice of the computer? Jarvis?
Oh, maybe. Maybe. They show a Jack Black, a picture of Jack Black. Was that the name of the computer? Jarvis?
Jarvis, I think.
What is that noise coming?
That's me.
Stan Lee makes an appearance again.
I miss Stan Lee.
You did?
Did you stick around after the credits?
No. Why?
You didn't?
No.
There's a scene that after the credits are over.
Really?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, I gotta check that
as
out.
As long as they don't pull it. It's still on YouTube. I saw it today.
Now he walks up behind this guy, hey Hugh, and like slaps him on the shoulder like he's Hugh Hefner.
Oh right,
and
that
turns
was Stan
around.
Lee.
That was Stan Lee. Duh.
Duh.
What a big Marvel fan you are.
I'm a DC fan. You know
yeah,
that.
Right. Now
right
you
on.
Are. Man.
Right on.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I liked the movie a lot. I thought it was real kick ass. Very funny. Special effects were awesome.
Yeah, when we did leave, my wife said, I can't believe the things that you laugh at.
Really?
Yeah. So let me think. Oh, so when he plops down and he targets all the terrorists.
Yeah.
And he disposes of them.
Yeah.
I laughed, and she didn't know why I laughed at that. I guess she was caught up in the scene.
Oh, when he targeted them and the things, and he went.
Yeah,
and just took
it
them
was
out.
Done.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Because they're all looking. The hostages are looking around like, what the fuck?
In the opening scene, I was cracking up the whole time he was talking. Like, the one guy turns around and he's asking him, hey, is it true that you had all of the FHM calendar girls from 2006? And he's like, well, no, March had a scheduling issue. but July was actually twins, so I made it up there. And I'm laughing my ass off. And I thought it was a great opening scene. Just a great... Yeah. And you knew all those guys were going to buy it.
Yeah.
but I thought that was great.
Just give it all away, why don't you?
I'm sorry.
Tell me spoilers. You're like, oh yeah, and then that part, remember?
I thought the best scene... The best presentation ever. You know, they send him out to Afghanistan or wherever the fuck he is to present this new weapon system. And he goes out there. He's got a scotch in his hand, or maybe he didn't at that time.
Not
but,
yet.
He gives a little speech, and then he demonstrates this weapon, and then he goes and grabs a scotch.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we'll throw one of these in for every
$5 billion.
It was so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after his epiphany or revelation, then I didn't like him as much as I did in the first 45 minutes. But I still enjoyed the film immensely.
Well, I kind of liked the why he had the epiphany when he had this belief that he was, you know, even though he's a cocky son of a bitch, he had this belief that he was doing good. For his country. You know, he's making all this dough. He's real smart. He's building weapons to protect people. And then he comes to the realization that his own weapons are being used against him.
Right.
Against his people.
And against innocent people.
And against innocent people. And he's like, what the fuck, man? Which I thought was kind of cool. I like the whole idea of the light in his chest. I don't want to give that all away, but I'm sure anybody who reads a comic book knows what it is. But it's fucking ingenious how they originally hook it up. And then later on when the Pepper Potts has to do a little surgery.
Operation.
Yeah, that was great. I was laughing. Yeah!
Oh, the other time I laughed is when at the very beginning... He's outside the Humvee or whatever the fuck. He's running around, and this missile hits the ground, and it says Stark Industries on it.
Yeah, right.
And I started cracking up.
He's like, oh, shit.
That's another thing my wife was like, I just don't understand why you laugh at that stuff.
I understand your sense of humor. It's the irony. Irony makes me laugh.
She did enjoy the film. She liked it, but
did she laugh the first time he used the jets?
I don't think she laughed at all. So the whole time we were in there, I didn't think she was enjoying the movie.
Oh, I laughed so goddamn hard.
When he flipped into the wall?
Yeah.
But when we left, she said she enjoyed the movie. Yeah, but to me, it's a complete guy's movie. I mean, it starts out with AC/DC is like the first song you hear. And a Humvee. There's weapons.
There's a chick driving the Humvee.
Yeah, that's true. But he didn't recognize her as a chick.
But my, what cracked me up is when he flipped into the wall, my son laughing so loud just killed me. I mean, that
it was all worth it.
It was, yeah.
To bring him into a PG-13 movie when he's 9, it was worth it.
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm just saying.
PG-13 means if parental guidance.
Unless
he's 13,
right?
Older.
So if he's 13, he can get in. Less than that, he has to have a parent there.
Yeah,
that's what that means.
Well, it's suggested parental guidance.
Suggested,
isn't it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Who
it
knows?
It's because of the violence.
I don't know.
Yeah. And there was that sort of quick sex scene. I covered his eyes.
Oh yeah, right. Why do you cover his eyes there? You let people get maimed and killed.
That's right.
And you let him see it. But
that's right.
When he's banging somebody, you're going to cover the eyes. What's up with that?
That's real.
Well, they didn't really show anything.
No.
But because I did tell my wife maybe we should bring Emma to this movie because she's 10.
Yeah.
And during that's the, you know, all that other stuff happened. She didn't say anything, but that scene happened. She's like, oh, I'm glad we didn't bring Emma.
You just don't want them to start too young. You don't care if they shoot somebody when they're young, but don't get anybody knocked up, you know.
Well, she didn't get knocked up.
No.
But she was very aggressive.
Yeah.
Very aggressive.
Yeah, I would agree. And then the Golden Compass, what'd you think of that?
Wait a minute. So Gwyneth Paltrow did have a line.
Jesus, are you still going over
this
movie?
She had one line that I liked. I laughed at one of her lines. So this Robert Downey Jr. brings this reporter home, bangs her, and then he's gone the next morning. So she wakes up, she's walking around his house, and here comes Pepper Potts. And she's got her clothes dry cleaned and everything. And the reporter tries to get some jabs in at Pepper Potts. Yeah. Like, oh, you're the assistant. Oh. And she's like, yeah, I do whatever he asks me to do. Even if that involves taking out the garbage.
The trash.
Taking
Scott.
Out the
Say
trash.
Say that right.
Is it? It's not the garbage?
It's the trash.
Taking out the trash. Referring to this this newswoman.
Including taking out the trash. There's a car waiting
for you. Right. So, Spiny Normans, John. Iron Man, Spiny Normans. Out of 4. Four Spiny Normans.
3.5.
I'd have to go 3.5 as well. 3.5 out of 4 Spiny Normans, but a must-see. You must see this movie.
Yeah.
You don't have to. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's a fun movie.
It's great. It's a really well-done Jon Favreau.
Jon Favreau.
Yeah. Very well-done adaptation of Iron Man.
And if you do go see it, stay for after the credits because there's a scene there that John didn't see, but it's on YouTube.
Yeah,
if they haven't pulled it off yet.
I had to take a major leak.
A major.
Major leak.
And the other movie we both saw, John, was The Golden Compass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. We got that for...
What the fuck you mean for a bitch starts sucking?
I got Teen Wolf and Golden Compass and decided on Teen Wolf for family night. And then we watched Golden Compass last night.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Golden Compass.
Oh, me too.
I liked it quite a bit. The one thing that bothered me, though, so it's this, I have no idea about the backstory, but it's based on some novel.
Yeah.
And it's some alternate universe.
Right.
Where here in our universe, the soul, our souls live in our bodies.
Right.
In that universe, the souls live outside the bodies, and they take on some sort of an animal form.
Yes.
And they call them demons.
Yes.
And the thing that I couldn't get over, the first thought that I had when they explain this, I think they narrate this at the very beginning of the film.
Yeah.
And who's the chick in it? Nicole Kidman?
Yeah.
So her demon is
was
this
George W. Bush.
It was George W. Bush as an orangutan or some, not some even orangutan, some kind of monkey. But I'm thinking, okay, so if I'm a 007, who's that guy? Daniel Craig. I'm Daniel Craig, who's in this movie.
Yeah.
And I got this kick-ass snow leopard is my demon, my soul that walks outside my body.
Yeah.
And I see Nicole Kidman in a bar, and she's got this orangutan, right?
Yeah.
How many drinks do I have to have before I take her home and bang her with knowing that this monkey's going to be looking at me?
Dude, man.
When I bang her.
Because you're looking at it from a perspective of like, okay, I've never had my soul on the outside of me, as opposed to somebody...
No, I'm looking at it the perspective of procreating with souls looking at me. While not only, they're not animals. They can have conversations with me, too.
They
can talk to me.
They're procreating else with each other.
Well, how do they come to be? How do these... they spring from the life dust of me? I don't know.
I don't know. It's an
alternate. But they're
going to
be watching me when I'm procreating. I don't like that. I couldn't get over that.
The story is basically about this soul, and in a youthful soul, it changes forms because the youthful, they're always going in different directions before they mature, you know, the free will and all that.
Right.
And you're so fucked up, man. You get hung up on the weirdest stuff.
Don't I?
Instead of the message of a
well,
fucking...
Well, I understand the message.
The Catholic Church
right.
coming down and trying to separate the
wanting
soul
to take over the universe.
And take over the universe by telling people this is how you be moral.
The magistry is what they called it.
Magisterium.
Whatever. And this is how you behave. This is how you must act. And this is what you must think.
But we got this whack job, Nicole Kidman, that can do whatever she wants. I don't understand her connection. If she's hired by them or what the deal is,
I don't understand.
She's like
it either.
Their shill.
But the ending of the movie, it's like, okay, well, where's the next one? Are they even making the next one?
Well, the idea behind it was the next one. Actually, there was three more chapters to the book that they could have added to this movie, but they didn't, with the intention of making a second one. But the problem was that the response in the U.S., it cost them $180 million to make it. And in the U.S., it only made $70 million.
Because of all the Catholics and the religious
fucking
fucks.
That's unbelievable. And then abroad, it made $300 million.
Well, because it's a really fucking good movie.
We're de-evolving, Scott. Our fucking society the U.S. is de-evolving.
Thanks to George W. De-evolving.
Unbelievable.
You know, Clinton came in the office, and I cursed Clinton because I said, well, why didn't he come into office when I was in high school and make blowjobs okay universally? I was upset by that.
Damn you!
Then the W comes in office, and we're de-evolving.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to me. So the Catholic Church has a presence here. They say, I bet you they didn't even go see the movie, but they say, don't go see this movie. And these idiots don't go see it, because they do whatever the magisteria tells them.
Well, there's a guy at work that refuses to see it. He gives me a book by C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. Here, you should read this. I go, you don't understand, dude. I was a believer. I don't believe anymore. You can't give me enough shit to get me to go back and believe. It doesn't work like that. There's nothing for you to get me to believe. Are you telling me you were a non-believer and then you became a believer? Well, no, I always believed. You believed in talking snakes? What the fuck's wrong with you? I don't, watch the movie. It's a fucking fictional tale.
Yeah, take
like
away
Narnia.
Whatever you want. Maybe it'll make you think.
Oh, Narnia. Narnia is a great, C.S. Lewis, and it's the allegory of Christ, and, you know, get the fuck out of my face. It's a fantasy film.
Well, you know, the one question you can ask is he must not have confidence in his faith that a fucking movie could potentially change his faith in Christ. What a dick. They're worthless and weak.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Brainwashed. How strong is your faith if a movie called The Golden Compass can change your faith?
Yeah, with a dude running around with a snow leopard, Azrael.
Right on, John.
Yeah.
Right on.
All right, so should we take a break?
We could take a break. Hold on. One more movie thing. This is Harold and Kumar, Escape from Guantanamo. I have not seen this movie, and I don't plan on seeing this movie. Have you seen any of the reviews for this movie?
No.
I love the first movie. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. I thought that was a kick-ass movie.
Nice.
But yeah, I read a review. It's all right. All the reviews are pretty negative, but here's one that I enjoyed. Anyway, what happens is Harold and Kumar are going to Amsterdam, right? But before they get to Amsterdam, they get shipped off to Gitmo. And then they take a raft from Cuba to try to get back to the United States. So what happens is they're pursued by the feds, right, John?
Yeah.
So let me catch up with the review now. Kumar and Harold careen through the deep south, accruing misadventures. Lamest of all is the moment when, having literally parachuted their way into Bush's Crawford Retreat, they wind up getting blazed with the commander-in-chief. Not only is James Adamian's Wax Museum Bush impersonation a far cry from Will Ferrell's, but the warm and fuzzy bohemian of the scene betrays whatever mildly subversive humor might have preceded it. If smoking pot makes even the guy responsible for Gitmo into a high-fiving bro, isn't that an insult to the good name of weed?
Yeah.
Now, I don't do drugs, though.
So
weed.
He's upset that they tarnished the good name of weed with George W. This may be the worst sin of Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay. It betrays the spirit of the stoner comedy.
No doubt.
By including
The W.
A bad impersonation of the W.
Wow.
Right on. Look what the W did for Deal or No Deal, John. Sent that fucking tanking. Whose great idea was that to put him in this script? Dopes. All right, John.
So what do you want to hear? We got Boots, Gypsies, Holiday, Torn from Practice last week. Want to do a twofer?
Let's do a twofer, definitely, because I gotta take a whiz, get a refill.
All right, what do you want? What do you want to hear?
Let's hear Boots and your selection.
We got Boots, Gypsies, Holiday,
Torn. You pick the next one.
Torn.
I pick Boots, you pick something else.
Boots and Gypsies.
There you go.
How about that?
These are two oldies. I mean, these are before the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Classics, John.
These are oldies. Nancy Sinatra.
Hey, did you light something up in there?
And Cher.
Did you?
What do you mean?
Because
like
I can
smell
like...
Smell what? What do you smell?
We were just talking about weed. I don't know.
Maybe it's a mental thing.
All right.
You it smell could be mental. Weed from your brain.
I read a story about weed and I just start smelling it.
Balaine.
My Balaine.
Yeah, all right. Check this out.
Something for me, something you call love, but confess you keep messing where you shouldn't be messing. Yeah, someone else's gotten all of it. Boots are made for walking, that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you. You keep betting when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a changing, yeah. What's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. But these boots are made.
are gonna walk all over you. Gonna walk all over you.
Town, they call us gypsies, tramps, and thieves.
Yeah, how about that, man?
It's out of sight, John. Out of sight.
You know, I was just going to say, it's kind of a good thing we do the songs live and run around and do our shit. Because if we'd have just, like, you know, edit it and just cut the show off and then I just add the files later.
Right.
We'd be sitting around, dicking around for like a half hour.
Right on, John. But this makes us get back on mic. Yeah, we're running
we both get back on mic, poor Mike. And we finger cuff him.
Well, the last song, John, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves, a song by Cher.
Yeah.
Will lead nicely, segue nicely in our first
That's a ripoff version, too.
Celebrity story.
We do a version. That version we do is ripped off from the version that Phantom Helmsman, a local Chicago band that's now defunct, who you've seen the guitar player play.
They opened up for the Websters.
The Websters, yeah, at the Viaduct Theater.
Right on, John. Yeah. I think it was episode 18.
Yeah.
No. Was it?
I don't know.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. But that's
version. Cher, that was Cher's song, Gypsies, Tramps, or Thieves,
right.
And she's also in Celebrity News, John.
No doubt.
Let me ask you this.
Tom Cruise or something?
Why, after all these years have passed, would singer Cher admit to having a fling with all people, Tom Cruise? During an interview with the talk show queen Oprah Winfrey, Cher revealed that she was crazy for the risky business star.
Did she do the tongue thing on her lip?
The romance was back when Tom was 23 and Cher was 16 years his senior.
Wow.
In a season hooer at 39.
Oh, dude.
I'm sorry, season pro. The singing icon told Oprah it could have been a big romance because she really liked him. But she was too busy to pursue it properly. Whatever prompted her to out Tom in such a bizarre way is actually humorous. She also said, he said he felt like such a boob in school and nobody talked to him. He went on a date once for dinner in a New York restaurant and the waitress was from his old school. He told me she never talked to him back in school, but now he was recognized and he got all of her attention.
Well,
duh.
He was kind of goofy looking.
Yeah, he was kind of goofy as a kid. Plus, he was allegedly queer. So,
right.
I mean, that's not going to attract women.
I'm going to seminary school. Okay.
Yeah.
You thought they meant seminary school.
Cher is starting a new long-term gig at Caesar's Palace in Vegas, which may be why she let slip her fling with Cruz. Now, what do we know about Cher, John, other than that she was married to Sonny Bono and he died in a tragic skiing accident? We know that she is an icon in the gay community.
Yes.
Is that why Tom was attracted to her?
Oh, yeah. Very good. Is that deductive logic, or are you deducing or inducing?
It is conducive. Cumducive
logic. It's out of sight.
Also, Tom Cruise with Oprah. While filming her show Saturday in Sin City, Oprah swooned to the audience about the cozy snowmobile ride she had just shared with Cruise at his Telluride, Colorado compound. I see what happened to Katie, she announced before taking us.
What the fuck is that?
Do we need to stop? What was that, man?
I don't know.
I see what happened to Katie, she announced before taking us to a truly terrifying visual place. There's something about that guy's butt. And you're scooched up there. You're like, take me home. Anywhere else you want to go, Tom? I'm free this afternoon.
Shut up.
Disgusting.
I'm not.
That's what she said on her show.
Oh, man.
Ugh, that gives me the creeps, man.
take me away.
It's all theater of the mind, Calgon, isn't it, John?
Man. Yeah.
Also, last week we came down. No doubt. Here's another tie into Oprah. We talked about David Blaine. Oh, and it's
Blaine.
David is the first name of the soccer player. What's his last name? We couldn't remember his first name last week.
David Beckham.
Beckham. There you go. David Beckham. That's his first name. David Blaine breaks record for holding his breath underwater, John. He did it. He went on Oprah and broke the record.
Pardon me?
For holding his breath underwater. Really? So we give props to David Blaine.
Blaine. It's a trick, Blaine. Man.
It's got to be. 16 minutes, come on.
You saying I got no brains?
No. Fucking go underwater for 10 hours.
Also, we've been talking a lot about Miley Cyrus. I think we talked about her when she was on Barbara Walters, dressed like a whore.
That is one big pile of shit.
Then she goes to this Vanity Fair. She gets this photo shoot done, and the photos with her dad are just downright
weird, creepy. Yeah.
Then she's got a photo of her. She's 15. Then she has these photos on the web she's posting with some dweeb showing her bra and shit. And we're like, what the hell is going on? Why isn't any supervision happening? And the thing that I don't get is all last week, all these news organizations and Disney and everybody
Disney
wants an apology for Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus is 15 fucking years old. If you want an apology, get it from her goddamn dad. No, she's only 15. I thought she was 16. She's 15.
Why do they want an apology?
Who? Because she did these photos. They're going after Annie Leibovitz.
Disney, fuck you. You've been making Brazilians off of me.
Well, the defamer had this to say. I only cut a clip out of it. Here's what the defamer said. This is Miley Cyrus growing up in public like hundreds of teens before her and countless more to follow. She's a sexual creature at 15 just like the rest of us were or will be. Hannah Montana has its own universe. I'm sorry. Hannah Montana has its own universe. And if teenagers don't fuck there, what the hell is that?
I don't know.
I can't continue under these conditions.
Conditions.
I'm in the middle of a defamer story about Hannah Montana.
I don't know what it
is. And Miley Cyrus. Maybe it's your mic wigging out.
Yeah, maybe. It's a good point.
Can't be mine. Mine is brand new, John.
Next time it happens, I'll mute it.
Let me start over. Three, two, one. This is Miley Cyrus growing up in public like hundreds of teens before her and countless more to follow. She's a sexual creature at 15 just like the rest of us were, are, or will be. Hannah Montana has its own universe, and if teenagers don't fuck there, great. Here, however, teenagers fuck, and love it or hate it, that's the world we crave. It hardly seems like news.
Right, yeah.
And it is the world we crave, because once this went out that Vanity Fair had this pictures, these photos online.
They killed the server, man.
Yeah, the server went down. Oh, terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible, John.
Terrible.
One last celebrity story. Actor William Baldwin. Are you familiar with him? William Baldwin.
Yeah.
Has launched a stinging attack on his younger brother, Stephen. Stephen's opposition to equal rights for same-sex couples. The Usual Suspect star, Stephen, 41, is the only Republican member of the famous family, and his siblings despair of his conservative views. Eldest brother, Democratic Alec Baldwin, was attempted to change Stephen's mind in the past, and now has the 44-year-old William on his back. I can't continue.
What do you mean? What's the matter,
hey,
man?
Anyway, William is upset with Stephen because he doesn't like queers.
Who doesn't like queers?
Stephen doesn't like queers. So William said, I asked him, do you think gay couples should be married? And if not, do you think they deserve access to the same rights on a federal level and state level that you do? He responded, because God said, and the Bible says,
oh, no.
That marriage is an institution that exists solely between a man and a woman, blah, blah, blah. And he falls behind that crap. And I said, well, if you had a choice, if you and your wife were to die and your kids were still young, and you had a choice between your children being in foster care and potentially being physically and emotionally and sexually abused as opposed to being adopted by a loving, healthy, caring lesbian or gay couple, what would you rather have? He couldn't answer. And I said, thank God Dad isn't here on this earth right now, because he would be so devastated and so horrified.
Now, which is the one that's being the a-hole?
Stephen Baldwin, the one from Usual Suspects. Yeah. He's a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
If I were him, I'd become a born-again Christian, too, after the shitty movies he's done. Usual Suspects was good, but he was in, like, Biodome and
right.
All these shitty movies.
Wasn't he just in some movie where he was...
A genius?
No. What movie was it? It was a real dumb movie.
He's really in a movie called The Genius Club, where no. He's a genius.
Oh, God.
I think it went straight to DVD.
This movie, he was part of like a self-help group or something. Shit. It was all people that had siblings that they didn't get along with. So they were having problems, and there were like all these child actor stars and shit. I can't remember.
Are you sure that wasn't a reality TV show?
No. This is like a cameo in a movie.
Well, Steven is all born again. You cannot have a conversation with that guy without him talking about Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. What a fucking moron.
Well, it'd be really interesting to interview him and to figure out why. Maybe he's already broadcast this.
Dude,
why they
get so angry.
Why he made the transition. He was not a believer, and he became a believer. Why did that happen? And I bet you if we find out the why, it'll fall into whatever insecurity he had or whatever coincidence occurred in his life that led him to believe in this fairy tale.
You're too deep for me, man.
Am I?
Yeah.
Well, we talk about Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is in Scientology because he's had feelings for men. And Scientology's told him they can cure him of this.
Ah, right.
And his career took off at the same time. That's why he's into Scientology. Why is a Stephen Baldwin into being a born-again Christian?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Ace reporters, John and Scott.
Ask Phil McCracken to find out.
Yeah, Phil.
Phil.
Last big interview he had was with the W. He hasn't brought one in since.
Right, yeah.
Pole smoker.
What?
You got any celebrity news there, John?
Did I say I had some?
I'm just asking. I'm just asking a question.
No. I don't. I'm so sorry.
If my questions frighten you, dude.
Oh, Cusack.
Cusack.
He's got a movie coming out.
We just talked about movies and celebrities.
Yeah. Cusack is outraged over the Iraq war, so the U.S. actor channeled his anger into a low-budget political satire, complete with a chorus line of scantily clad female amputees. He hopes that
I find that offensive.
That's
John.
What he's hoping, that they'll offend you. Inspired by anger about the war and questions about political power held by global corporations, War Inc., which is the title of the film, is set in Turkestan, a fictional nation occupied by a private U.S. company called Tamerlane and run by a former American vice president. Cusack said he was also inspired by the late director Robert Altman, who made a satirical movie about U.S. medical personnel during the Korean War based on the book MASH, a novel about three Army doctors. He said when they made MASH, they wanted to be as politically incorrect as the war was obscene, Cusack said. I don't think we even went far enough. What else is he? Oh, Hillary Duff's in it, too. Singer Hillary Duff, 20, had a week to prepare for her role as a trashy Central Asian pop singer.
What?
And said that while many
how
families...
How hard can that be? She's a trashy American pop
singer.
Yeah,
but she's got to be Asian now.
Not Asian.
It says a trashy Central Asian pop singer.
Really? Yeah. Central Asian?
Yeah. And said that while many families have been devastated by what's happening in Iraq, she hopes that audiences will see the funny side of the film. Okay. We're trying to raise awareness with it. It is funny, and it is bizarre and a little disturbing, she said. But really, at the end of the day, it's looking at what our country is doing, and it's not right.
Damn right, Hillary Duff. You know, she should be number 7 on that FHM list. After that statement,
yeah,
there's somebody I can have a conversation with.
Anyways, with the U.S. presidential elections looming, or maybe not, Cusack hopes his movie will spur some kind of resistance of the spirit.
Hopefully it'll spur something. Something's got to give there, John. Spurt something. Right on. Did you ever see MASH, the original?
Oh, yeah.
It's a great movie. You remember why Hot Lips got her name?
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh. Well, she was with Frank Burns, and they recorded that session and broadcast it through the camp.
Nice.
And she said, oh, you're making my lips so hot.
Nice.
My lips are so hot. So that's how Which she got lips? The nickname Hot Lips. Well, you never really know. But I don't think it was the ones that are under her nose.
Hey, Hot Lips.
The fuck you waiting for, bitch? Start sucking.
All right, John, let's turn to science news.
Science.
If sleep does not serve an absolute vital function, then it is the biggest mistake the evolutionary process has ever made. Alan Rockshaffin said. Studies of sleep and sleep deprivation suggest that functions of sleep include recovery at the cellular, network, and endocrine system levels. Endocrine. Energy conversation.
Endocrine.
Whatever. And ecological adaptations and a role in learning and synaptic plasticity. The importance
of
sleep.
You picked a tongue twister.
I did. The importance of sleep is illustrated by the effects of sleep deprivation in humans, which is difficult to sustain for more than a few days to a week. Cognition becomes impaired and mood labial. That sounds pornographic, doesn't it?
Wait a minute.
Although large
No, wait. Spell that word.
L-A-B-I-L-E. Labile. Although large inter-individual differences exist.
You know what labial is, right?
No.
It's
the vag, right?
Man. Yeah.
Neuroendocrine changes and microsleeps with temporary loss of consciousness occur. Selective REM sleep deprivation produces similar behavioral effects over a long time frame. In this case, increased attempts to enter REM sleep are noted.
Are you supposed to say REM?
REM. No, the band, REM.
The band sleep.
But the effects are rapidly reversed by sleep. And human sleep deprivation is most chronic and partial and is increasingly recognized as having deleterious. I should have pre-read this. Deleterious. I should pre-read it out
deleterious.
Loud.
Deleterious. Wait a minute.
Because when I read it.
Read that word.
When I don't read it out loud, I just skip over these words.
What do you mean deleterious?
Deleterious.
Spell
effects
it.
On human health. Delete. R-I-O-U-S. Delete. Irious.
Are you sure?
In rats, total sleep deprivation is lethal after 2 or 3 weeks. All right, John. So these scientists are trying to figure out what's going on with sleep. What there has to be an evolutionary explanation, a benefit of sleep.
Right.
It could be that when it was nighttime, you really didn't have anything other else to do besides, you know, cuddle up and cuddle or spoon somebody and fall asleep. But they're looking into it. But remember last week, maybe it was the week before. Deleterious. There you go.
Deleterious.
We were talking about God, and we were taking Ben Stein's position, and let's say God really did design us.
Yeah.
Now, if God really did design us, isn't this...
He fucked up.
Yeah. Didn't he fuck up again?
It's a little mistake.
If he were to design us, John, why were we designed to spend a third of our lives asleep? That's a third less time to show our devotion and love to God.
Hey, good. That is, wow.
Whoa.
Dude, that's your next thesis right there.
Let me repeat that, John. Let me repeat that.
That is profound.
If God did design us, why are we asleep a third of our lives? That's a third less time.
Where did you hear that, man?
To show our devotion in God to love, our love to God.
Did you just write that, or did you hear that somewhere?
No,
man?
I didn't just write it. But
I cannot wait to use that argument the next time I'm with one of them born agains.
Okay, that's
let me
what
ask
all
you
the
question.
Six of the Ten Commandments are about showing your love to God.
Yeah.
So if we're asleep a third of the time, we can't do that. So we're failing.
Well, your subconscious is asleep.
God designed us to fail. By being unconscious for a third of our lives.
What an ass.
Douche. You better not take over our show again either.
Prick.
Cocksucker. That's blasphemous.
You cocksucker motherfucker!
Wow.
All right, another science news, John.
I got one.
You got science news?
Yeah.
Let's hear it, man. What do you got?
Study finds no cancer marijuana connection. Am I allowed to read that?
Of course. Why aren't you allowed to read it? You're the producer of the show,
well,
John.
I got a call from Phil that he had a blurb about it. He always goes over what he's got with me. And
oh, does he?
Yeah.
That fucker never calls me.
Well, why would he call you? I'm the producer.
I guess that's why when he's here, he addresses you. He completely ignores me. An ass.
I don't think he likes you.
What is it? Why doesn't he like me?
I don't know. He's...
Dick.
He said some things.
I'm going to confront him
on the phone
when he shows up today. What did he say?
You have to talk it over with him. I'm not at liberty. It's like attorney-client privilege.
Privilege.
Anyway, study finds no cancer-marijuana connection, Scott. The largest study of its kind has unexpectedly concluded that smoking marijuana, even regularly and heavily, does not lead to lung cancer. The new findings were against our expectations, said Donald Tashkin of the University of California at Los Angeles, a pulmonologist who has studied marijuana.
A what?
Pulmonologist.
Yeah. Sounds like it should be at a strip
club.
Like
pulmonary.
Pulmonologist.
Pulmonologist. Yeah.
Hey, get on with it.
Anyway, who has studied marijuana for 30 years. We hypothesized that there would be a positive association between marijuana use and lung cancer, and that the association would be more positive with heavier use, he said. What we found instead was no association at all, and even a suggestion of some protective effect.
Hemp, man, hemp.
Yeah. It says federal health and drug enforcement officials have widely used Tashkin's previous work on marijuana to make the case that the drug is dangerous. Tashkin said that while he still believes marijuana is potentially harmful, its cancer-causing effects appear to be of less concern than previously thought.
Did he detail why he thinks it's still harmful?
Yeah, he says earlier work established that marijuana does contain, well, he doesn't talk about the harmful effects, only the fact of. This is what he says about the link with cancer in earlier work. Earlier work established that marijuana does contain cancer-causing chemicals as potentially harmful as those in tobacco, he said. However, marijuana also contains the chemical THC, which he said may kill aging cells and keep them from becoming cancerous.
Nice. so that it may actually prevent cancer.
Right.
Oh, we got to roll out the bowl.
That's right. While no association between marijuana smoking and cancer was found, the study findings presented to the American Thoracic Society International Conference this week did find a 20-fold increase in lung cancer among people who smoke two or more packs of cigarettes a day.
Well, that's the thing. If you're smoking weed, how often are you doing it? At the most, twice a day?
Oh, I don't know. Some people smoke it just like cigarettes, but not as many.
How could you afford that?
Not as many. People, they'll mix it with tobacco.
I see. Yes, very good. Or brownies.
Like the Pauly B and his Lovely did. They mixed it with tobacco.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. In Amsterdam, they do the same thing.
Did they mix it with tobacco?
Yeah.
With the stuff we bought was so mixed
harsh.
With tobacco?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I would have thrown it back in their face and said, give me the pure. I don't want tobacco in my... I don't
That's
want a
why
fucking
you gotta order it.
Pure, nicotine addiction.
Pure, so you can roll it yourself.
Well, these guys, the thing I noticed in Amsterdam, you can tell who the tourists are because when they smoke the joint, they're like... Gold dude, man!
They always say, what is this? They always say, they go, ear. When they're passing it, they say, ear.
Well, the people who live in Amsterdam smoke those things like cigarettes.
Yeah,
there's like
hey,
a...
Yes,
yes, of course.
Us Hollanders.
I put my pinky. I have my...
No, they don't talk like they're from Park Ridge. They talk
between my fingers and I have my pinky up and I smoke it like a cigarette, yes.
The Dutch, Scott, so they don't talk like that.
Right on,
the
John.
Dutch.
They do not talk like that.
Birdie, birdie, girdie, dirty.
All right, another science news, John. The sun's movement through the Milky Way regularly sends comets hurtling into the inner solar system, coinciding with the mass life extinctions on Earth, a new study claims. All right, so picture this, John. Picture the Milky Way like a disc, right?
Yeah.
Now, we're on the outskirts.
Right.
And our solar system moves up and down within that disc. Up and down, up and down, up and down. So when it does, we have, when we're outside the disc, less activity. We get in the middle, more activity. Then we go lower outside and less activity, right? So that's what they're saying.
Right.
And they're saying because of that, there's a link between comet bombardment and our movement through the galaxy. So they are correlating these things with mass extinctions. So they're saying this happens every 35 to 40 million years. An increase in the chances of a comet collision are tenfold. Evidence from craters on Earth also suggests we suffer more collisions approximately 36 million years, every 36 million years. It's a beautiful match between what we see on the ground and what is expected from the galactic record.
That is one big pile of shit.
It is not a big pile of shit. Scientist, John. Scientist.
Nuclear?
This is a seminal paper which places the comet-life interaction on a firm basis and shows a mechanism by which life can be
like
dispersed
seminal
on a
fluid?
Galactic scale.
Galactic.
This may have been bad news for the dinosaurs, but it also helped life to spread, and that's an important part. So, we weave in and out of the Milky Way disk, right?
Yeah.
And so these comets bombard us. They cause mass extinction, but when they do bombard us and continue on their way and send other comets out, they carry life with them.
Yes.
To other
planets.
Solar systems within the Milky Way.
Right.
This is how life spreads in the galaxy, in the solar system, John. Not the solar system. In
the universe.
Well, who knows? Maybe in the solar system. I don't know. Maybe life was on Mars and then a comet smacked it and then hit the Earth. And that's how life started here. Who knows? Or maybe it was God in a mud puddle. I don't know. Who's to know?
Who's to know, Scott?
In our last science story, John, a woman's voice becomes more attractive when she is most fertile. Fertile? That's according to Nathan Pipitone and Gordon Gallup of the State University of New York. The pair recorded women counting from 1 to 10 at 4 occasions during their menstrual cycle. Then they replayed the recordings at random to a male and female students and asked them to rate the attractiveness of the voices. Both males and females judged the women's voices to be most attractive if they were recorded during the peak fertility period of the menstrual cycle and less attractive if they were recorded during non-fertile periods.
Yeah, because they're on the rag. They're really... Yeah!
God damn it.
God damn it, Jim.
The audio, I had audio. I had an audio quiz. I was going to play like four females and ask you to tell me which was the most fertile.
God damn it.
I'm going to have to remember that for 131.
Nice.
I will bring in four women recordings, and you must tell me who is the most fertile.
No, fuck you!
Based on the recordings.
One of them's going to be... what's her name? Ruth Buzzy. What the hell's her name? No, not Ruth Buzzy.
Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin. All right, John, let's turn to politics. Unless you have any science news. Did you have any science news?
No, that was it.
Turning to politics on Thursday, John, it was Happy Mission Accomplished Day. Did you know that?
Oh, boy, yeah.
5 years ago today, when President Bush announced the end of major combat operations in Iraq.
Ugh.
5 fucking years, John. How many lives? How many dollars?
I don't... There's
how much corruption?
Hey, man, it's the war on terror, Scott. That's the front on terror.
Yeah, the front on terror.
How about a war on murder?
Who formed that argument? The front on terror. Was that the W?
No.
Or did somebody tell him that? Was there a brainstorming session?
The W's a moron. He's just repeating whatever they hand him. Here, read this. And by the way, God is all backing this up.
Man. I agree the W's a moron, but I think that if you work for the W, you have to present it to him like it's his idea.
No, I think... Well, that could be, but I think they surround him with people that just constantly,
you're the greatest, you're the best,
this is the way
you're
going to
go down
it.
In history as the greatest president ever.
And it's a prerequisite, and if you don't talk like that around him, you're fired. You're gone. So you better kiss up to this.
You got
to
be.
You got to boost his ego every minute.
I'm just happy I didn't win the Nobel Prize during his term, John. Because then I'd have to go to the White House and meet him, and I just couldn't handle that.
And you just punch him right in the face.
That's why I'm holding off winning the Nobel Prize in theoretical physics. Right on.
Theoretical physics.
Yeah, when
it's
I do
so
win
technical,
the award,
you can't even pronounce it.
I'm going to pull this clip.
Oh, man. The fucking W.
I brought in some W clips. One, W Afghanistan.
W.
So what happens is, and this is the question we always ask, what is the progress? Every time you talk to the W, every time anybody talks to him, we're making progress. We're making progress in Iraq, in Afghanistan. We're making progress. How could that possibly be? If we were making progress every time they asked this motherfucker, these would be democratic societies by now.
Yeah.
They'd be turning over their oil revenues into education, into building an infrastructure, and they'd be well on their way to becoming independent countries.
Right.
Without our intervention.
Yeah.
So some woman finally says, well, what is, you keep saying progress, but what is that, you know, how do you,
yeah, how do you define,
define that in this clip, John?
These were the Afghan army that when they're in the fight, they're good. You know, I wish we had completely eliminated the radicals who kill innocent people to achieve objectives, but that hadn't happened yet. And so I think it's very much in our interest to continue helping the young democracy. And we will, yeah.
So
obviously,
we've
got to follow
winning?
Up.
Do you think we're
winning? I do.
Winning?
I think we're making good progress. I do. Yeah.
Can I just add to that a couple
of
weeks
can't.
Ago?
No, you can't. This is the second follow-up. You usually get one follow-up. It's nice enough to give you one. I didn't give anybody on this side a follow-up, and now you are trying
they
to take a second follow-up. I know you tried. Yeah.
Just
no, they just cut off your mic. You can't. No. Now she's going to go without the mic. This is awesome.
Oh, my God.
That in Iraq in 2006, you said we were winning and the strategy was working to keep up troop morale. How can we believe that you're not doing the same thing
here?
Are
you trying to ask me that question before? It's a repeat. Look, I said, but can I finish, please? The question you asked me before at the exclusive I gave you on the ranch was, you said that we were winning in the past. I also said that there was tough fighting. Make sure you put the comments in place. So what I'm going to tell you now is we're making progress in Afghanistan, but there's tough fighting. I'm under no illusions that this isn't tough. I know full well we're dealing with a determined enemy. I believe it's in our interest that we defeat that enemy. And so, yeah, we're making progress. But it's also a tough battle. We're facing people who are willing to strap bombs on themselves and walk into places where the innocent, you know, dwell. Or the innocent shop and kill them.
Or shop.
Is it our interest to confront these people now?
Or fuck.
Whether it be in Afghanistan or Iraq or Europe or anywhere else. And the answer is absolutely it's in our interest. And the notion that somehow we can let these people just kind of have their way or, you know, just don't stir them up is naive or disingenuous.
Oh,
and it's not in our nation's interest.
We
are in a global struggle against thugs and killers. And the United States of America has got to continue to take the lead. And so in Afghanistan, yeah, we're making progress. Does that mean, you know, that we're over? No, it doesn't mean it's over. We're in a long struggle, as I've told you many a time.
What does over look like?
Jihadists. You defeat them ultimately by the advance of democracy. See, this is an ideological struggle. These aren't isolated kind of law enforcement moments. We're dealing with a group of ideologues who use asymmetrical warfare, that means killing innocent people, to try to achieve their objectives. And one objective is to drive us out of Afghanistan, Iraq, the Middle East, or anywhere else
where
we try
to confront
them.
Let's get the fuck out then.
And so, yeah, I mean, look, is it tough? Yeah, it's tough. Is it difficult? Absolutely. Is it worth the fight? In my judgment, yes, it is.
What a cock. What we're naive, me, John. We're naive.
Yeah, what cracks me up is that he tells you, and then he explains the definition of what he just said, because you're too stupid to understand what the chimp talk.
Yeah, chimp talk. That means...
He's getting unglued, man. He's coming on. Somebody asked a valid question, which the media should be asking, and he just flips out.
Flips out. And you think that that person will be invited to another press conference? No.
No.
She won't be back. And I wonder what happens to her back at her network. Does she get demoted?
Right.
It's a goddamn joke for asking these questions. Well, the W did slip up. He said jihadist. That's against his own policy, John. His own policy says we're not to address them as jihadists.
Ah,
we're
right.
To address them as Islamic fanatics, or Bush's own term.
Islamo-fascists. Which is, I hear people say that, and I'm like, do you know what a fucking fascist is? First of all, they're not even backed up by any kind of corporate money. There is no capitalist ideal going on back there. There's nothing controlling.
Well, that's how stupid this fucking guy is and how stupid the people around him are. He only surrounds himself with yes men, and they're not going to correct him on anything. They're going to tell him yes, yes, yes. He thinks he's the most brilliant man on the planet, and He thinks he's a stand-up comedian as well. And it's a goddamn joke. It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed to be a fucking American because of the cocksucker in charge. Yeah. The cocksucker in chief, John. George W. Bush.
Fucking cocksucker.
Pull.
How about this? Smoker. How about McCain? Speaking of.
I think McCain is dumber than W. Is that possible?
I don't know.
Is that, and if McCain wins, I really have to reconsider relocating.
Well, listen to this about
it. Well, hold on. Your company has, you can go to Canada or you can go to Germany, right?
Yeah.
You can transfer. I can go to Japan or I can go to Brazil.
Nice.
Nice.
Well, listen to what McCain has to say about evolution.
Senator McCain, this comes from a Politico.com reader and was among the top vote-getters in our early rounds. They want a yes or no. Do you believe in evolution?
Yes.
I'm curious, is there anybody on the stage that does not agree and believe in evolution?
Yeah.
May I just add to that?
Sure.
I believe in evolution, but I also believe when I hike the Grand Canyon and see it at sunset that the hand of God is there also.
Oops.
Which one is it?
I believe in evolution, but the hand of God.
Is it the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, he painted the Grand Canyon.
So the hand of God handles mountains and canyons.
Right, trees.
And evolution handles itself.
And all the animals flying around, but humans.
There was no follow up question then, I'm assuming.
No.
And the reason he said that is when the guy said, I'm just curious, does anybody else believe in not believe in evolution? Everybody on the panel raised their hand.
Oh, my God.
And so the guy crumbles under peer pressure. Oh, wait a minute. Let me just correct that. It's, what a douche.
Speaking of press conferences, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. That McCain allegedly in his 1992 Senate bid, he was joined by his wife, Cindy, who like ruffled up his hair and,
he called her a cunt.
Well, she said, you're getting a little thin up there. And McCain's face reddened and he responded, at least I don't plaster on the makeup like a trollop, you cunt.
Not only a cunt, but a trollop.
Yeah. And he said it was a long day. That's why he said that.
Yeah. And how many long days will he have as president?
Right. Anyway, this was a press conference, and a Baptist minister asked him this question.
Yes, sir. Now, if there's anyone residing in the back that raise their hand, I will try and see you to recognize you right after this question. Yes, sir.
This question goes to mental health and his mental health care. Previously, I've been married to a woman that was very verbally abusive to me. Is it true that you called your wife a cunt?
No, you don't want to. You know, it's a great thing about town hall meetings, sir, but we really don't. There's people here who don't respect that kind of language, so I'll move on to the next questioner in the back. Yes, sir, I see you.
What a dick. First of all, that audio is unbelievable.
I know, it's terrible.
Yeah, the one lady. Oh.
What?
What's so fucking hypocritical?
And then you hear the cameras going. They're taking a shitload of pictures.
Oh, shoot. You got to shoot that guy.
Oh, man.
This thing that's so hypocritical is he's the one who said it.
Yeah.
He's the one who called his wife a cunt. And some guy asks him about it, and oh, no, that's not the kind of language that we can use. Oh, but you can use it in your private life when you call your wife. It wasn't even private. It was public. It had to be for somebody to record it. So in public, he can use the word cunt, but nobody else can. Oh, that's a great president. That's the guy I want for president. What a dick.
And then O'Reilly... this week, this guy, Mr. Revisionist History, and a big cock smoker himself, he debates that we invaded Iraq, Scott.
Right. Hopefully we didn't invade Iraq.
This is what he said.
Truthfully, we are invading Iraq. We're not at war with Iraq.
We didn't invade Iraq.
Did we go to Congress to invade, to go to war? Did we have to go through the act
there
of Congress?
There was a vote in Congress.
It was a declaration of war?
It wasn't a declaration of war. It was a declaration to enforce the first Gulf War Treaty, which you don't know anything about, Mr. Ballantyne.
Apparently you don't know anything about it. Oh, really? It wasn't a declaration of war treaty.
So
it was a ceasefire.
He's saying we didn't invade Iraq?
Yeah, he's saying we did not invade Iraq.
Yeah, I just don't know on what planet or in what universe that would be credible.
Anytime you go in and overthrow a leader, it's an invasion.
When you bring 150,000 troops, what do you call that?
When you when you want to take the falafel brush and, you know, shove it up some chick's coos, that's an invasion of the coos.
He only did that over the phone.
Oh, yeah, but fantasize, sorry. Fantasize about invading the coozle area.
The coozle area.
Yeah.
Right on, John.
Hans Blix said, O'Reilly says, we liberate Iraq, liberate Kuwait, all right, and then we have a treaty, and the treaty says UN weapons inspectors are allowed to do XYZ. And 17 times Saddam says violates those. Now you can understand why the United States government might be a little teed off about that. And O'Reilly continues, but do you understand that when you have 17 violations of a treaty, a war treaty, that you basically have to take action? Blix says, well, you're talking about a war treaty. It was a ceasefire. It was not a war treaty. Oh, come on, Bill O'Reilly says. Now don't play semantics here, sir. And Blix says, second. Okay, all right. I'm trying to be precise. You are imprecise, as usual. And later on, or some other times before that, sorry, some other times before that, O'Reilly is heard is calling it as an invasion. Even the W calls it an invasion. He calls both that and Afghanistan invasions. So Mr. O'Reilly, revisionist history, who calls it a violation of a war treaty, which there wasn't one. I looked up a list of all war treaties. There's not one for the Iraq war.
How is that guy still on the air? And who are his listeners? Does Marty still listen to him?
I don't know. And he says that we won the Vietnam War, too.
Of course we did.
We did?
Why not?
Why are they still communists, then?
Is that what the goal was? I don't think that was the goal.
What was the goal?
The goal was so we'd have good movies like Platoon. And what other good movie? Born on the 4th of July. And Forrest Gump.
Right.
Without Vietnam, we wouldn't have those movies, John.
You're right. That makes a whole lot of sense.
As much sense as...
No, it was to stop the
advancement
of... Saying
that we've won the war.
...of communism.
Well, we did. The Berlin Wall came down. Russia collapsed.
Yeah, but we have Korea. We got China. We got Vietnam.
We're working on them.
Vietnam is still communist. Anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, similar to that, where these people are goddamn delusional. We have a Bill O'Reilly who's delusional. He thinks we didn't invade Iraq. I don't know what the... why? I just can't understand why that guy still has a television show. It's unbelievable to me. Only...
And a radio show.
To create content for... a Keith Olbermann. That's the only reason he has a show. And for our show. In April 28th, 2008 interview, Scalia, he's one of our Supreme Court justices, John. Scalia argued that torture did not fall under...
You mean Scalia?
Whatever. Cruel and unusual punishment. Because it was intended to extract information rather than to punish, per se.
Right.
And we have audio of this, John. Are you ready for that audio? Here we go.
The justice has been explaining his positions publicly more and more, and even delving into some thorny issues, like torture.
I don't like torture. I'm,
although defining it is going to be a nice trick, but I mean, who's in favor of it? Nobody. And we have a law against torture. But if everything that is hateful and odious is not covered by some provision of the Constitution.
If someone's in custody, as in Abu Ghraib, and they are brutalized by a law enforcement person, if you listen to the expression, cruel and unusual punishment, doesn't that apply?
No.
Cruel and unusual punishment.
To the contrary. You think that you would... Has anybody ever referred to torture as punishment? I don't think so.
Well, I think if you're in custody and you have a policeman who's taken you into custody...
And you say he's punishing you?
Sure.
What's he punishing you for? You punish somebody...
Well, because he assumes you one, either committed a crime or that you know something that he wants to know.
It's the latter. And when he's hurting you in order to get information from you, you don't say he's punishing you. What's he punishing you for?
Because he thinks you're a terrorist and he's going to beat the you-know-what.
Anyway, that's my view, and it happens to be correct.
What a pompous ass.
And then that little cockamamie smile at the end of that.
Yeah, I can't believe that guy's on our Supreme Court. He's an absolute fucking moron. How could he possibly...
I know, I was getting so pissed.
Delineate between torture and punishment. John, we've always said if we get sent over to Iraq and we're hauled in and they want information from us, we're going to tell them every fucking thing we goddamn know because we do not want to be tortured. And if they believe it, great. If they don't, what are they going to do? They're going to torture us. They're going to punish us to try to get more information.
Yeah. What do you mean? What is he punishing them for?
I just don't understand that argument at all. So before somebody commits a crime, we can torture them to get information.
It's after the crime is
after
they're convicted.
After they're convicted, then we punish them. Then we can't torture them.
No.
Then we can punish them.
Unbelievable, man. What a nut job.
A complete nut job. Well, he's the same guy. How do you pronounce his name?
Scalia.
He said on several occasions that he does not believe the Constitution guarantees a right to privacy. How about that? But he's very strongly protective of his privacy.
Yeah, sure.
He's formerly severely restricted the electronic media from recording his speaking engagements. After we just heard him there, I can see why, John. I mean, the guy's a mushhead.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, he's dopey. He's stupid. Citing his First Amendment right not to speak on the radio or television when I do not wish to do so. Is that covered in the... Did they talk about radio and television in the First Amendment? I don't remember that. What kind of a fucked up world does this idiot live in? That the radio and television are in his constitution.
Somebody owed him a favor, and they put him on there.
It's got to be.
He probably got somebody scot-free.
Like Justice Souter, he has averred that the day you see a camera come into our courtroom, it's going to roll over my dead body.
Good.
Scalia has opposed the introduction of live television broadcasts of Supreme Court oral arguments. Why? We're paying for the fucking thing.
Yeah, what do you got to hide?
What do you have to hide? Let's see these oral arguments that we can make our own opinions. I just can't believe it.
Magisterian, Scott, magisterium.
Yeah, we got this one idiot in charge, right? And he's got 261 days left.
Yeah.
Get this motherfucker out. You could put a goddamn chimp in his place. He's a chimp. You could put a real chimp in his place and say, here's a banana. Give us a choice, yes or no, on this. And he would do a better job than the W.
Yeah.
Flipping a coin would do a better job than the W. That's what I'm saying. So anybody gets in other than the W is okay by me, except for McCain. He seems dimmer than the W, in my opinion. So anybody else, elect anybody. I don't care who it is. Anybody. And then you still got these ignoramuses on the Supreme Court.
Scalia.
What a dope. It's unbelievable.
Wasn't he on the Supreme Court when, for what's his name? The Hustler magazine guy?
Larry Flint?
Yeah.
Why, did Scalia was banging somebody? And Larry Flint was going to out him?
I thought when Larry Flint went before the Supreme Court, because there was a thing about freedom of speech when he was slamming Jerry Falwell.
Oh, Scalia argued in that?
Yeah.
And how did he go? Which way did he go?
I can't remember.
We'll have to get the movie with Mike Myers, right?
Mike Myers?
Yeah, he was the... Oh, I'm thinking of Studio 54.
No! That's a disturbing movie.
The dude from
movie.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody.
Played Larry Flint. And Kurt Cobain's wife.
Right, Courtney Love.
Was in it, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Scalia also made it clear that he thought anyone who did not want school children to say the Pledge of Allegiance with the words "under God" in it deserved a spanking.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
I'm serious.
What a fucking Nazi.
1987. Get over it, Scalia ruled that a military could give LSD to soldiers without telling them. And the soldiers could not sue the government because it was all part of military discipline.
Oh, that's just great.
In 2005, Scalia was quizzed by a student of New York University if he sodomized his wife, to which there was no reply. In an open letter, the student later explained that he asked because Scalia had judged the police could legally ask homosexuals if they committed sodomy.
He's a fucking nut job.
Well, you know, the thing about the LSD to military?
Yeah.
His son is in the military right now. He said that in 1987. I wonder what he'd say today, that his son's in the military. I say they inject his son with LSD.
He's a nut job.
As an experiment, as part of military discipline, and send him home to Scalia, and then see what he says. What a dick. Can't believe that guy's in the Supreme Court. Dope. Non-thinking. You know who appointed him? Reagan. Yeah.
Figures.
The actor.
While he was senile?
Could be. I don't know. Reagan.
What year was he?
Unbelievable.
What year was he appointed?
Like 85 or something.
Unbelievable.
I don't have that in my notes, John.
What a loser.
Yeah.
Hey, Iran calls for a ban on the Barbie doll. Did you hear about that?
No, why?
Iran's top prosecutor has called for restrictions on the import of Western toys, saying they have a destructive effect on the country's youth. How about that?
Mr. Why wouldn't they?
Najaf. Did
you ever undress a Barbie doll?
Mr. Najafabadi's comments were made in a letter addressed to Iranian Vice President Parvis Davoudi and quoted in several Iranian newspapers. The displays of personalities such as Barbie, Batman, Spider-Man,
Batman,
and Harry Potter, as well as irregular importation of unsanctioned computer games and movies are all warning bells to officials in cultural arena.
What does that mean?
The irregular importation of such toys, which unfortunately arrive through unofficial sources and smuggling, is destructive culturally and a social danger.
To have a toy.
Yeah.
This is Iran?
Yeah, this is Iran.
Yeah, see, they need more stories like this. Catapult the propaganda, because I'll want to bomb them by the end of the week.
The BBC's Pam O'Toole in Tahrain says the increasing popularity of Western culture has been causing concern in Iraq's clerical establishment for years.
Iraq or Iran?
I'm sorry, Iran. Did I say Iraq?
Yeah.
Mr. Jabafabadi, a high-ranking cleric, said Iran was the world's third biggest importer of toys, with many more being smuggled into the country in the past. Barbie dolls have been targeted by Iranian authorities, bridling at their revealing dress. In public, Iranian women must cover their body contours, a rule, correspondents point out, that Barbie conspicuously fails to follow. So Barbie doesn't cover up her contours, Scott, and her nippleless breasts.
And even if she did, when you get her home, you'd take her clothes off, wouldn't
you? Yeah, I always did. My Barbies.
I did it to my neighbor's Barbies.
Yeah, I have my own.
Yeah. You had your own?
I didn't have
my own.
I had my own. I could undress.
I could have, you know, like borrowed one of my neighbors, but I never did.
Nice.
I would just do all my devious things in front of her.
Yeah. Ooh, look at that. It's smooth down there. Let me get a pen. I'm going to draw in some hair. I used to draw in a big muff, big curly muff.
Hold on before I get the door there with Phil. This is out of the Chicago Tribune about Cheney. I'm proud to note that four. How about that? I'm proud to note that 4 years ago, President Bush and I received more votes than any other presidential ticket in American history. How about that?
To Vice President Cheney.
We for now hold the record. We don't mind it at all if you set the record in November when you help elect John McCain as United States president. Is that true? They set the record for what?
I don't know.
They received more votes than any other presidential ticket. Is that possible? In 2004? That can't be possible. Is it because of the population growth?
I don't know. Maybe.
I got to work on my Cheney. It's like a like a mix of Bob Hope and John Wayne. That's not right. How about that?
The president and I look forward to helping our candidates up and down the ticket.
Yeah,
how about that? Throughout this very important year, and the stakes are very high, whether the issue is the economy or energy or national security, the right answers are coming not from the Democrats, but clearly from the Republican side of the aisle. How about that, Josh?
That's like Bob Hope and Larry Flint.
Well, that is Cheney. Bob Hope and Larry Flint. There you go. So I read this article and I'm like, Jesus Christ. I mean, this is so fucked up what this guy's saying. And then I go down to the comment section, right? And there's only one comment, but here's the comment. We don't need to wait for history to be written. George W. Bush is the best president in our lifetimes.
Oh, my God.
Well, in our lifetimes. I mean, that's only including, you know, how many presidents. He has won not one but two wars against Islamofascism.
Oh, my God.
The Nazis of our time. The only difference is today the media is so biased to the left that they portray these victories as somehow defeats or quagmires, and the American public, like lemmings, continue to buy the liberal spew of the media instead of investigating the facts on the ground.
Oh, this person needs to be kicked in the balls.
This person did leave their name. They are from Chicago. Maybe we can get this person on our show.
Their phone number?
This person's name is Eric Dondero. Dondero.
Eric Dumbass.
So I am going to try to contact Eric Dondero and see if he'd come on our show.
What an idiot. Like lemmings. Let's talk about lemmings.
I can't believe that. We have won not one, but two wars against Islamofascism. When were those? When did we win those? I don't remember that. This comment pissed me off more than what Cheney said.
Yeah.
That this idiot buys into.
Well, that's what they want. I mean, Cheney wants that kind of mentality. That's what they're actually playing into.
Yeah, but you can only
stupidity
anticipate what 5-10% of the population is that goddamn dumb?
I mean, what's the saying? There's a sucker born every minute.
Yeah, I guess so.
There it is, right there.
Right
another
there.
Sucker.
Right there.
Another cock sucker.
I don't know if you heard this, John, but a D.C. madam, Deborah Jean Palfrey, allegedly committed suicide over the week. But evidence is stacking up to suggest that the alleged suicide was a calculated, in fact, a calculated murder. What about that? Huh?
Yeah, I know. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. So this woman ran a whore, a prostitution ring in Washington, D.C.
D.C. madam.
What's funny is she's also on record as saying that she wasn't the biggest game in town, the biggest player. The biggest player was the one who ran the male prostitution in Washington, D.C. It seems that the GOP prefers males. But when they do prefer females, they would go to her. So she had a list of all these senators and high-ranking officials that used her service to gain prostitution, John.
Yeah.
So they took her to trial. They convicted her. She was supposed to spend 8 years in prison for providing this service, which is unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable. Anyway, she's in Florida. She's at her mom's, right?
Yeah.
And apparently she goes out to the shed and hangs herself. That's the official story from the Florida police.
Yeah, we know about them.
We know about Florida.
Yep.
That's like a third world country, Florida. The new testimony is backed up by at least four other recorded public statements on behalf of Palfrey, attesting to the fact that she would never commit suicide. And if she was found dead, to immediately suspect murder. She's also on record as saying this several times. There's audio recordings of her saying this.
Yeah.
If you ever find me dead, I didn't do it. Somebody killed me. The building manager at Park Lake Towers in Orlando, where Palfrey owned a condo, told the news that he spoke to Palfrey on Monday as she was packing to leave for her mother's house, and she did not seem upset or suicidal.
Yeah.
Jean Palfrey was a class act. She wore very good clothes. She was well-educated. Her way out of this world certainly would not have been in an aluminum shed attached to a mobile home in Tarpon Springs, Florida.
Yeah.
Hear, hear.
How tall? Usually sheds are like 8 feet?
I don't know. Who knows? But the person that's being implicated, and the person when she first was arrested, the person's name that came out that said, oh, this guy might be on her list, was Dick Cheney.
Really?
Our vice president. I wonder what's going on there, John.
Wait a minute. Repeat that again.
When she was first arrested.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, if you arrest me, that's fine. I'm going to start releasing names. And she did start releasing names. And even before she released names, a couple of guys from D.C. came forward and said, well, yeah, I had a, you know, married guys, GOP, Republican guys. Yeah, you know, I used her service. I'm just going to say it. One guy, right. Vitter, was one of the guys.
Yeah.
And she said, well, until they stop coming after me.
Well, he's not on my list.
I'm going to release names.
Nice.
And Cheney was always this name that was talked about, that Cheney may be on this list.
Cheney.
Dick Cheney, Vice President, United States. And then she ends up in an apparent suicide. How do you even hang yourself in a shed is what I want to know.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. Who knows?
How do you do that?
I don't know. I'm going to follow that story, John. Now, we've come down very hard on the W, John.
Yeah.
But we said, hey, if the W ever does something positive, we'll let you know. And I think I have that story, John.
Really?
Yes. Here's a positive news from the W administrate, the W regime. Here's the headline. All I have is the headline. Bush administration rejects Mount St. Helens mine.
What?
Okay. So somebody, some company said, hey, we want to mine Mount St. Helens. And the W said, no, you can't do that. I think that's good. I think that's, W made the right decision. Because isn't Mount St. Helens an active volcano?
That's what I thought it was.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think he finally got it right, John. He finally got it right.
I know, it's kind of dangerous.
Maybe they didn't grease his ass enough. I don't know. Maybe they didn't dab their cock with Vaseline before they jammed it in.
Hey, watch it, man. He's the one that won two wars.
Right.
And he's saving us from inflasoslavishism.
Inflasoslavishes. Right.
Yeah.
That's right, man.
Islamoflashism.
Well, here's what we're fighting for, John. Just one more story, and I'll go get Phil. At first glance, Shabo Ali Rauf appears to be slumbering on the grass, her pale brown curls framing her face, her summer skirts spread about her. But the awkward position of her limbs and the splattered blood reveal the true horror of the scene. The 19-year-old Iraqi was, according to her father, murdered by her own in-laws.
Oh, man.
Who took her to a picnic area in Dukan and shot her 7 times. You know what her crime was, John?
No.
Her crime was to have an unknown number on her mobile phone. Her honor killing is just one in a grotesque series emerging from Iraq, where activists speak of a genocide against women in the name of, guess what, John? Religion.
Ugh.
In the latest such case, it was reported yesterday, a 17-year-old girl, Rand Abdul Kuder, was stabbed to death last month by her father for becoming infatuated with a British soldier serving in southern Iraq.
And the W is all upset that we're not giving democracy a chance.
Yeah, to these idiots.
Oh, man.
In Basra alone, police acknowledge that 15 women a month are murdered for breaching Islamic dress codes. 15 a month. Because they don't dress the way they're supposed
to
dress.
Of fuck ups.
And they're supposed to, do they even know what democracy means? And if you read this story before you invade Iraq, wouldn't you say to yourself, Jesus, these people are fucking
Stone Age. The men won't have it, man.
They're Stone Age.
Democracy means education, thinking, and women's rights. And that is the last thing they want.
Right. And from day one. This mission about democracy is a bunch of shit. He's going there for the oil because there's no way any sane, rational person can deduce that these people don't even know what the concept of democracy is. And if you want democracy, like we did, John, and our great ancestors, you got to fight for it yourself.
Oh, yeah. There's no other way.
You can't have somebody come in with a barrel of a gun and shove democracy down your throat. And I go even further and say that these people don't even know what the fucking concept means.
Yeah.
If they're murdering women because they don't dress the way they're supposed to dress, what the fuck are we doing over there?
I don't know.
You cocksucker motherfucker!
All right, man. Let me get the door. I'm sorry to bring us down.
Yeah, let's wrap this shit up.
Phil will bring us back up, though. Hold on. I'm bringing my mic with me to the door. Hey, man, what's happening? Come on in. Yeah. Follow me. Sit down. All right. Wow. I'm already back.
It's getting close. Whoa.
All right, Phil, whenever you're ready.
Oh, thank you, Scott. I need a moment.
John, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm very well.
Out of sight.
Thank you for asking.
Out of sight. Blah, blah, blah. Chimp, monkey, blah, blah, blah.
Stop it. My eyes are glazing over. All right, then.
said, let me just get my papers together.
Show's over and
somebody suggested
minutes.
That I bring a laptop in, but I prefer the good old paper, John.
You use the old typewriter?
The old typewriter with hemp paper. Yes.
So you could roll it on the way home.
Roll it on the way home. Right on, John. I'm ready when you are.
All right.
Thank you, John.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. It was for story tonight. Orangutan attempts to hunt fish with a spear. First time one has been seen using a tool to hunt. In related news, John, a chimp has been running the United States for America for the last 8 years.
Yeah, so what's... Yeah.
Next story, John.
Spear fish.
Soccer star Ronaldo was questioned by police early Monday after a run-in with a Brazilian transvestite in Rio de Janeiro.
How many?
A run-in with Brazilian transvestites.
Oh.
Ronaldo accused one of the transvestites of trying to extort him. Police Inspector Carlos Augusto Nogueira said Monday night.
One Nogueira, of the Brazilians?
Yes, one of the Brazilians. Nogueira said the altercation began when Ronaldo found out he was dealing with transvestites instead of women. The inspector said Ronaldo admitted that he knew they were prostitutes when they met early Sunday night, but did not realize they were transvestites until they got to the motel. He admitted everything. He wanted to have fun, but he committed no crime at all. It was immoral at best. Prostitution is not illegal in Brazil. The transvestite allegedly asked for $30,000 to hide the story from the media and also accused Ronaldo of asking him to buy drugs. In a statement to TV Globo, Ronaldo reiterated he was a victim of extortion and denied he had ever used drugs. Next story, John. After 15 years and $10,000 in child support, man is finally allowed to use DNA to prove child isn't his, which he'd been saying all along since he had a vasectomy 2 years before the baby came.
Man.
Next story, John. Spanish town surprised when British students take advantage of all-you-can-drink vacation deals. An invasion of thousands of British students at a small Spanish resort for a sports tournament was left local officials reeling from their drunken annex. Students from 37 universities, including the London School of Economics, Manchester University, and King's College London, descended on the town of Calleja to compete in games including netball, hockey, and lacrosse. But so many spent their days drinking instead of competing that locals said the tournament was more about being drunk than sport. They said beaches were left littered, revelers kept them awake until the early hours, roadsides were vandalized, and hotel furniture wrecked. The town's mayor, Josef Maria Hune, said... These students do not behave like civilized human beings, and we don't want them here.
Speedy Gonzalez? That's good.
They had free entry to four nightclubs, and with a 150-euro wristband, could drink all they wanted from 9:30 p.m. to 4 a.m. The philosophy is the philosophy is to get drunk, nothing more, said the mayor. They start first thing in the morning drinking beer on the beach. They leave the beach like a rubbish dump. Then they get more drunk in the discos until the early hours when they return to their hotels before starting all over again. Students boasted about their antics on social networking site Facebook. One from Derby University wrote, I haven't been so fucking shit-faced for so long in my life. It was awesome. Next story, John. Almost 5 years ago, the Dixie Chicks nearly ruined their careers by saying they were ashamed that President Bush was from Texas. How times have changed, John. Next story.
That's it?
That's it. highly regarded college basketball coach fired for sodomizing the equipment manager with his equipment. The University of Central Florida fired baseball coach Jay Bergman because he was accused of sexually harassing a team equipment manager. Bergman used a bat to simulate raping equipment manager Chris Rice in early March, said the university. Two other sources with knowledge of the altercation. The university asked for anonymity because it was not authorized to speak for UCF. The three sources said Rice told the university in a written complaint that he was held down on the field, fully clothed, by a baseball staff member before a March 7th game while the players watched. Bergman was said to have grabbed a bat and shoved it in Rice's buttocks.
Oh, Jesus.
Bergman coached for 26 years at the UCF. Next story, John. Are you familiar with the greatest story ever told, John?
Yeah.
The one with Jesus and the Virgin Mary?
Yeah.
Well, move over, Jesus. There is a new greatest story ever told. Study shows that smoking pot doesn't cause cancer. It may prevent it.
Wait a minute.
Next story, John.
What's the other story?
That is the greatest story ever told.
Experts. I thought you ran two stories together. Like, what?
No, man. I think what he meant was that that is the new greatest story.
Why do you defend him? He doesn't even like
me. He doesn't even like me. I don't know. I guess we're soul brothers. Yeah, maybe that's why he doesn't like me. He's so attracted to me. He's fearful.
Yeah, that could be.
That could be it.
Yeah. Is that true, Phil?
Next story, John.
Don't want to talk about it.
Experts say to fight gas prices, get better bass. Experts say to fight gas prices, get better gas mileage. Also suggest exercise and diet to lose weight, water and soap for showering. Summer weather will melt ice, and they also suggest wiping ass after shitting to avoid goat's ass. Next story, John. Florida trucks avoid castration. Keep their nuts. A provision in the highway safety bill that would have banned drivers from attaching replica bull testicles to their rear bumpers was snipped from the legislation. Republican Senator Kerry Baker had sponsored the amendment that would have allowed police to give drivers a $60 ticket for displaying the dangling decorations.
Oh, come on.
The House did not have the amendment in its version of the bill. Senators had engaged in a somewhat heated debate over the issue 2 weeks ago. But current news, John, is that if you have bull testicles dangling from the back of your truck, you may keep them dangling there. Next story, John.
So you can eat them. In just about any diner down there, but you can't dangle them from your truck.
In his latest effort to convince white middle-class voters that he is just like them, Barack Obama reveals that he also avoids black neighborhoods. Next story, John. A dog has been framed in a man's castration. Tube steak still missing. A 64-year-old French woman has been handed a 12-year jail sentence for castrating her partner while he was unconscious and then blaming her pet dog. The victim, age 39, was rushed to the hospital in northern France in June 2005 with his penis sliced off. His partner called the ambulance herself, saying the dog had bitten off and eaten his genitals. Knocked out after taking a cocktail of alcohol and medicine, the man had no recollection of the incident. Seriously traumatized, he is currently in a psychiatric hospital. Police never recovered.
Psychiatrics?
Police never either recovered the weapon nor the missing body part.
Oh.
Next story, John.
That was France?
France.
Hey, do you know why French men kiss women's hands?
I do not know why.
Because you have to start somewhere.
After admitting an affair with a senior, it appears Barbara Walters likes her men the same way she likes her coffee, John. Next story. Man claiming wombat rape denies he was drunk at the time.
What?
A man who gained worldwide fame after claiming he had been raped by a wombat says the story would have been more interesting if he had been drinking. 48-year-old Marchusen man Ross Craddock was sentenced to 75 hours of community work last week after he rang police and complained he'd been sexually assaulted by a marsupial. The story made worldwide headlines and even secured Craddock a guest spot on the British comedy show. Despite widespread allegations over his sobriety, Craddock denies he was drunk at the time of the call. Next story, John. Our next story is a follow-up story, John. This is a follow-up. Remember the penis pump judge?
Right.
Donald Thompson, the one caught using a penis pump during his trials. You remember him, John?
Remember him. I remember him.
Well, he was just released from prison, so he can go back to using his penis pump instead of being one. Next story, John.
Right there.
This is a TTN PSA public service announcement. When you call your armed friend, to back you up during a fight, make sure he knows not to fire the warning shot into your head.
Oh.
A jury has convicted a Harvard man of voluntary manslaughter for fatally shooting a friend who he had called him for help after a run-in with a group of college football players. The Alameda County jury on Tuesday also found Christopher Hollins guilty of assault with a firearm and being a felony in possession of a firearm in the shooting death of Malia Willis Starbuck, a 19-year-old Dartmouth College student. Witnesses say she called Hollis for help during an argument with University of California Berkeley football players and told him to bring a gun. Hollis's attorney said the client meant to shoot over the football players' heads to scare them, but he accidentally shot Willis Starbuck instead.
Oh,
Hollis
geez.
Could face 6 to 21 years in prison when he is sentenced on July 14th. In related news, the W went to Harvard. Next story, John. Next and last story. I'm sorry, that was the next and last story.
Oh.
That is the news, John.
All right.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott.
Phil.
Always a pleasure.
See you next week.
I'm going to get going.
Or not.
Oh, I'll.
No podcast next week.
Oh, that's maybe I'll compile a best of Phil.
Yeah.
It'll be like the whole show.
Right on.
All right. Right on.
What are we doing? Do we clock over 3 hours on this one?
253.
253. That's one of, I think 255 is our longest.
Well, we wait a couple more minutes.
We're going to go out with something? What can we go out with?
No, we don't got nothing
to go out with. Nothing to go out with? Nothing.
Nothing, honey.
All right. We going to do some post-production during the technical difficulties or no?
What technical difficulties? Theater of the mind. No, wait, no, we're going to leave it.
We're going to leave it?
Yeah, thanks for that imitation.
That was a great imitation,
a representation,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right on. All right, so we're going to be out the next 2 weeks, John, but we'll try to get something posted and downloadable.
Yeah, right.
Keep those emails and phone calls coming. And we'll see you in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Right on, John.
I'm John Aria.
I'm Scott.
And we're out of here.
Episode 130.
Yeah.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott. On Total Talk Nonsense.